You guys have absolutely been cracking me up.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, January 9th, 2025. This is your award-winning Gable Nation Media Assassination, episode 1728.
This is No Agenda.
Battling the blaze and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're working on changing the state motto to, quote, zero containment. I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
So whenever I don't get your full batch of clips in the morning, it's very disturbing to me.
Why?
Well, because then I don't know what I should be clipping or not.
Well, it doesn't happen that often, and I sent them right to you when you didn't get them.
Oh, 2 hours ago, I sent you an email.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I just opened my email.
First thing.
Well, as soon as I opened my email, I saw the thing. I said, well, let me send those.
Let me send those off. No, the reason why is because then I figured you'd have fire clips.
And you know, you could call me.
You know, Dana Brunetti, super producer to the stars, sent me a screenshot of him calling you. And it said, user busy. You do not even have call waiting, do you?
Oh, God, no.
We thought that was very old school of you. Since when's the last time you called somebody and you got a busy tone? I didn't even know what a busy tone sounds like anymore. So, yeah, I could have called.
What am I supposed to do? Just be here so everyone can just call over and over? Look. Everyone should disable, this should be a tip of the day, get rid of call waiting. Hold on. I got this other call.
Oh, I got
hold on. You stay there.
Bigger name
while
on the other line.
Other person interrupts our phone call. I'll go talk to them. You just hang on.
Bigger name on the other line. What can I tell you? Stand back. Well, since you, of course, have the rundown, you being in California, far away from the licking flames of danger, I will just give us two short clips, a little vibe for what the media has been like here in these United States. Listen to the music, the demure.
And good evening. As you can see, we are covering one of the most destructive fires in California history. I'm Nora O'Donnell with Tony DeCoppo, who is on the ground in Los Angeles with our team of reporters. And we thank you for joining us as we're going to dedicate tonight's entire broadcast to those historic and devastating fires in Southern California.
The entire broadcast is dedicated to it. And good morning, America. Oh, no. Boom. Dramatic music.
Right now on Good Morning America, First Look. Fire emergency.
Fire!
Multiple fires raging out of control in Southern California overnight, fueled by the worst windstorm the region has seen in over a decade.
All right, Dan. Yeah, let's get out of here.
Homes burning, thousands fleeing, forced to leave their cars behind and run.
Winds up to 100 miles per hour. Witnesses calling it simply terrifying.
This is Sunset Boulevard. You can see the fire just engulfing the hillside. Motorists had to get out and run to safety.
New reports of injuries coming in.
Our reporters across the region right now on a special edition of Good Morning America, First Look.
Woo! Well, there you go. Woo! I'm tired just listening to him.
Wow. Yeah. I think you just by accident said demure, and I was thinking David Muir, D. Muir.
D. Muir, there you go.
Wow.
Do you know that Joe Rogan discussed this very issue happening?
With Trump.
No, it wasn't with Trump.
He did with Trump, too.
Oh, he did this. I think that he had, what's the Pulp Fiction director? What's his name again?
Tarantino.
Yeah, Tarantino. Yeah, it's a short clip.
Yeah, when I was filming Fear Factor, I talked to this guy who was a fire guy for the fire department. He said, it's just going to be a matter of time. There's going to be one day where a fire hits L.A., and the wind is the right way, and we're not going to be able to stop it. It's just going to burn right through to the ocean. Mm-hmm. He goes, it's just a matter of time. We all know it. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I go, the whole city? He goes, the whole city. He goes, when those big fires get going, not a damn thing. Like what happened in Malibu a few years back.
So is this incompetence? Is it just Los Angeles? it is time for me to read one of my favorite passages. From Up and Down California, the Journal of William H. Brewer.
Oh, yes. This, by the way, should be read every year.
Yep, yep.
For the obvious reasons, because, well, I want you to read that.
Yeah, okay, I'm waiting.
But before you read that, I'm surprised this didn't happen more often, but of course, NPR, I do have the clip.
Mm-hmm.
This is fire. That's so many fire.
You got a NPR, lot of fire.
Fire by climate, NPR.
Hold on. Woo! The powerful Santa Ana winds continue to fuel those fast-moving wildfires. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports wind gusts have reached 100 miles per hour, the strongest hit the region in more than a decade.
Professor Sylvia D. focuses on climate science and extreme weather at Rice University. She says the geography of Los Angeles County, combined with extremely dry conditions, are contributing to the severity of these wildfires.
We're taking a leaf blower to a campfire that already has decades of climate change lighter fluid all over it.
Wow.
But certainly climate the configuration change, of lighter basin fluid. With its surrounding by mountains and then that warm ocean water to the west is contributing to what we're seeing happen over the last couple of days.
Dee says the intensity and frequency of wind-driven wildfires are clear indicators of a changing climate.
Due to climate change.
Yes, of course. And now I shall read from the Up and Down California Diary, written between 1860 and 1864 in the Journal of William H. Brewer, who detailed his extensive travels across California, documenting various natural phenomena. Quote, I have witnessed torrential rains that turn the Central Valley into a vast whitecaps lake, intolerable heat waves that made the fats of our meats run away in spontaneous gravy, violent earthquakes, and fires I could only describe as great sheets of flame extending over acres. 1860. So,
you know, even their commentary that this is the worst windstorm for a decade, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
They have these 100 mile an hour winds all the time.
Yes.
The Santa Ana winds. When I was a little kid, they used to talk about the Santa Ana winds. Yep. Oh, yeah, here they come.
We've talked about the Santa Ana winds on this show. I can recall it at least 5-6 times.
Sure.
Yeah, so this is nothing new other than possibly some brush management did not take place, but it did give everybody an opportunity to try out their new uniforms. Did you see the new uniforms, the yellow coat and the goggles?
Yeah, you mean by the reporters?
Yes, that's their new uniform. I get my yellow coat on and my goggles and my mask. And yeah. Of course, we don't want to make light of the destruction.
No, it's a mess.
Because this is horrible. I used to live in the Hollywood Hills, not far from Runyon Canyon, which there's a fire there as well. And I can imagine it's quite frightening. It's amazing that this has happened to so many celebrities.
Pacific Palisades is loaded with celebrities.
Oh, yeah, but it's all the way to Calabasas. It's parts of Malibu. And I haven't heard many celebrities say climate change, honestly. I haven't heard much of that. But I will play one celebrity, Adam Carolla, who fulfills the prophecy of MoFacts, which is blame it on the black women.
We keep putting these people in this position. And what do you expect? What are we looking for? You people are all sitting around. All you dickheads who live in the Palisades, who voted for Karen Bass and never stop patting yourself on the back because we go, we have the first African-American female as a, right. She's in Africa collecting beads and your fucking house is burning down and you want to know what's going on.
Oh, man.
You don't know what's going on? You elect incompetent people. You pat yourself on the back. You look at his progress and then we get fucked. So. Again,
hey, not safe for work.
It could be a vice president.
Sorry.
It could be the mayor of Los Angeles. It could be the deputy police inspector of New Orleans. It could be the fire chief of Los Angeles. These are pretty important jobs, pretty highfalutin jobs. And I would not care if every single one of them was manned by a black lesbian. I would not have any problem with that whatsoever. just as long as none of that factored in to them getting the job. But if they got pushed up ahead of other people because of that, and that seems to be what's happening because you guys never stop celebrating that, then no, I do not want that. And I know you're doing it because you celebrate it. You always go, oh, she's the first. What's that have to do with fire safety? What the fuck does being a lesbian have to do with fire safety? I would argue they know less about fire safety because their hair is so short.
Sorry, I should have warned about the family unsafe. And of course, the NBC Los Angeles news pieces start to surface, and it's all very unfortunate.
I'm super inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? So I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
That just kind of opens the door of people that thought, wow, I didn't even know that that was an opportunity for me.
Ah, there you go. So that's the narrative.
That clip's incorporated in a couple of months. Okay.
Well, that's the narrative. That is the narrative. It's all DEI. I don't think that's true. I think it's just poor management, as we've seen in previous California fires, forest floor management.
There isn't any.
Yeah, that would be poor.
I'll preface this with when I was with the Air Pollution District in the 70s.
Mm.
There were control burns constantly.
In the 70s. Did it end in the 80s, the 90s? Do you know when it ended?
I think it ended in the 80s when people started complaining about it.
Hey, we don't like that fire. We don't like that fire. Why?
No, it's a Democrat. Well, it was causing pollution. And, you know, we used to have, besides having control burns constantly, we also had a group called Ducks Unlimited.
Ducks Unlimited.
Yeah,
this sounds like a.
I'm surprised you. Actually even more shocked that you don't remember this group.
No.
Ducks Unlimited, and I think they still exist.
Hmm.
But in California, Ducks Unlimited were duck hunters who were responsible for doing controlled burns of tule fields and other areas where ducks like to come in, so they could hunt them and shoot them dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ducks Unlimited they were allowed to have controlled burns themselves. It'd be a Ducks Unlimited burn. And they would burn off a whole area of fire-prone vegetation, and also making it possible for the ducks to come in. And I don't know what happened to Ducks Unlimited, but that's over.
Hmm.
And I remember when I was in high school and even in grammar school, where they used to talk about fire management in school and go on and on about fire breaks and how they were so important. Yes. And they would knock all these trees over, and they didn't show pictures where there'd be a giant big lane that was empty with trees, so you couldn't get these giant fires. Anyway, this has all been dropped.
I'm happy to report that Ducks Unlimited still is around today, and they have the coveted domain ducks.org.
Oh, they got ducks.org.
They did. Yeah, see how DU has conserved more than 18 million acres of habitat across America.
Yes, they did good work. And they used to be around here, but the whole thing fell apart. Now, I have a series of different... I got some clips to play.
Yes. Since you are in California, we expect no less.
I don't know if... I want to start with the best clips, which is the Jesse Waters rundown. I mean, it's just... Because I saw him... It was on The 5, and he was working on... You know, The 5, if everyone watches Fox, they'll notice The 5 is... is really wood shedding. They're just working on material for their own shows later in the day.
Oh, it's like comedians who go into a little club to test out the material.
Yes, exactly. It's practicing.
Interesting.
And so Waters had a really good bit on the Five. I said, I should record this. And then he did it on a show and he added to it. Now, I had to cut this way back. I guess five short clips.
Well, of course, they dedicated their entire channel to it, the whole network. Like, there's no, by the way, no more news about exploding Cybertrucks.
No,
more dead people in New Orleans. No, let's just move that away.
Yeah, definitely. So Waters had, I had to cut this back for two reasons. One, I thought it was poorly produced. And Waters has the best producers, so on Fox, because it's got the best time slot. But they had clips that needed to be sweet, and they were terrible. I had to pull them all out.
Oh, no.
And Waters has this tendency to do, even though I thought Fox did a pretty decent job of not being political in their reporting on the fires.
Yeah, they all did it.
Well, I thought it was pretty good, but the guys who are meant to be political, like Waters, was political, but he also has his tendency to drop in snide asides.
Yes, snide. Snidism.
I pulled most of those out too because I find them to be distracting, because the presentation's good. What are you throwing this stuff in there for? It's just poor form.
Yeah.
So here we go. Let's listen. Now what he does is he goes through a rundown of all the stupid crap that California has done under Democrat leadership, including the one that really is just a mind-boggling, which is taking out the four good dams we had, which used to be used for both conservation. It was used for water resources. They were used for power generation. And Newsom took all four of them out of the state. He took them out. Just blew them up. And it's just ludicrous. But here we go. The Waters won.
Apocalyptic. This is Los Angeles County. Entire neighborhoods are burning. Over 10,000 acres in Pacific Palisades alone. And the smoke everyone's breathing is being described as a toxic soup. Five people already dead. They were burned alive. Hundreds of homes have been scorched. This is the most destructive fire in LA County history, and it's still raging. 0% of the fire has been contained. 0%. Winds are whipping up to 100 miles an hour, breathing more and more life into the inferno. And over 1,400 firefighters are battling the blaze on the front lines, and they haven't slept. One says, "I'm living proof that you can stay up for 96 hours." But they're outmanned and out-equipped. The chief says she doesn't have enough firefighters. Just months ago, LA Mayor Karen Bass cut funding from the fire department by around $20 million. And before that, the LA Fire Department sent their extra equipment to Ukraine. They probably could use some of that equipment now. And this is even worse. The fire hydrants are dry.
Wait a minute, $20 billion? Does he mean million or billion?
No, he said million.
I thought he said billion.
I know he said wanted to say billion, but he said million.
And
20 million for the fire department is quite a bit.
And they sent stuff to Ukraine. Is that true?
That's a little. Yeah. Yeah. They had some excess gear, so they shipped it to do some
training,
virtue signaling. They sent stuff to Ukraine. Can you believe that?
Yes. Unfortunately, yes. I can believe anything these days. Except for the UAPs. Otherwise, I mean.
Okay, let's go on with even more disaster reporting.
Why isn't there any water coming out of the fire hydrants? Los Angeles has had 2 years of record rainfall. It hasn't rained this much year to year since the 1800s. Well, guess what? All the rain just washes into the ocean. A decade ago, California voted to spend billions on water storage and reservoirs. Today, Governor Newsom hasn't finished building a single one. They've done nothing to store water in a decade. Trump was just in California this fall and told Gavin he needed to get it together.
You have so much water, and all those fields that are right now barren, the farmers would have all the water they needed, and you could revert water up into the hills where you have all the dead forests, where the forests are so brittle, because no places like California. I go to Austria. The head of Austria tells me, you know, we have trees that are much more flammable than what you have in California. We never have forest fires because they maintain their forests.
Is it true that it hasn't rained this much since the 1800s, since the days of William H. Brewer?
The last 2 years in L.A. were very rain. Yes, there was. I don't know if it was from the 1800s, but it was a big blast of rain. And it was 2014 where we passed in California state bill number one to allocate billions of dollars to build new reservoirs for Southern California. That's 10 years ago. Nothing was built. And in the case, I don't know if he brings it up too much, but they have reservoirs down there. But in the this last year when they were getting the runoff, they didn't refill them completely. So we have no reservoir, no new reservoirs, and the ones they had weren't completely filled, and so the hydrants went dead. You know, this is like some people have.
Let me ask you a question, since you are a civil engineer and all kinds of important things.
Yes, I only on podcasts.
Yes, even if you had enough water, fire hydrants seems like a. I mean, it just doesn't seem sufficient for the type of devastation that was going on. I don't think you can do much with a couple of fire hydrants that have constant water, can you?
You can stop a couple of fires. You might save a house.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do something. It's better than just letting the thing burn out.
Yeah.
The point is that some people have speculated that this is exactly what they wanted.
Yeah, I've been hearing this too. Great reset of California, basically.
It gets rid of some of these properties and start building, rebuilding. The lots will be cheaper. You let new people in to invest in these things. They're letting this burn out.
I have a boots on the ground from a California firefighter, if you want to hear it.
Sure.
I have been a professional firefighter in California for 20 years. Currently, I oversee a vegetation management program to reduce fire risks to communities. We have money, resources, and are ready to work. The environmental regulations, however, take years to navigate and comply with and consume a large portion of the funds available for this work. California's entire fire problem is a direct result of foolish policies. It goes back to the USFS suppressing naturally occurring fire for over 100 years, resulting in excessive fuels in our wild lands. Now the state of California is tying the hands of local communities in repairing the damage through nonsensical environmental regulations that prioritize red-legged frogs or spotted owl habitat that hasn't seen a spotted owl since the 80s over human lives and property. The government will blame everything and everyone except for their own policies, which are the real culprit. The incentives are so screwed up that no one is really interested in actually fixing the issue because everyone is grifting off the system. Fires are big money for both private contractors and government employees, as is environmental compliance consulting. Sounds about right to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you do.
Big money.
All right, onward with clip three.
Before Donald Trump left office, he signed an order that would funnel more water from Northern California into Southern California. Newsom, instead of saying thank you, filed a lawsuit to stop it, saying it would kill the smelt. If you don't know what a smelt is, neither did we. It's a fish the size of your pinky. California can't get enough water to fight fires because of a stupid fish. We're saving fish instead of people. Saving smelt? Big business. If anything happens to the smelt, people lose a lot of money. We're paying people to feel like heroes for protecting a fish no one eats. But it gets worse. Gavin's been tearing down dams. Why? Because the Indians wanted some of their river back so they could catch salmon. Gavin didn't just knock down one dam for the Indians. He knocked down all four. And these dams were a go-to source for firefighters to pull water from to fight fires up north. Gavin's literally tearing down Western civilization for fish and Indians. Nothing against the Indians. I love the Indians. But really? L.A. is out of water. And the governor's staring at the fire with his hands in his pockets. People are trapped. Homes and schools are gone. And Newsom hasn't contained a single acre. The governor waited 24 hours to send in the National Guard. Water management, forest management, Gavin doesn't know what he's doing. Again, Trump warned him about this years ago. Newsom, after the election, called an emergency special session in California to Trump-proof the state. Not fireproof it, Trump proof it, whatever that means.
Oh, Jesse. Oh, Jesse. Yes.
Well, he keeps going. Let's go with clip four.
Where are the emergency escape roads that were supposed to have been built? People had to abandon their cars in the middle of the road and run away from the flames because there's only one way in and one way out. Why weren't the forest beds treated? Why are we running out of water? Joe Biden hasn't helped at all. In October, the Biden administration canceled crucial controlled burns in California. These are critical to forest management. Cancel them. Today, Biden happened to be in town because he was supposed to designate another national forest, decided that this was the right time to congratulate himself. So Hunter's now a grandfather and Joe's a great-grandfather. I'm sure everybody who lost their homes is excited to hear the news. Trump reacted to the fires today, saying, no water in the fire hydrants, no money in FEMA. This is what Joe Biden is leaving me. Thanks, Joe. Meanwhile, the mayor of L.A. has been out of the country the whole time. Mayor Karen Bass has been in Africa for the inauguration of the president of Ghana. What the heck's an American politician doing attending inaugurations in other countries? Karen Bass isn't going to her own president's inauguration, but she's going to the president of Ghana's? Why? And didn't make it back home until late this afternoon. A reporter caught up with her at LAX. Listen.
An apology for being absent while their homes were burning. Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today?
Nothing. Biden was considering Bass for VP.
Oh boy, oh boy. Yeah. It's very political at this point already.
Yeah. Well, you might as well be. This is a rare opportunity to really do it.
Yeah.
Let's wrap with this last clip.
So who else is running things? This right here, ladies and gentlemen, this is the leadership of the LA Fire Department. I sure hope they know what they're doing. Here's the fire chief.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? So I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
That just kind of opens the door of people that thought, wow, I didn't even know that that was an opportunity for me.
So while her department was sending equipment to Ukraine, the chief was marching in pride parades, which is fine. Have all the pride you want, but you better make sure you're ready to do your job when it counts. LA County Fire Department fired a ton of men who refused to get vaccinated.
There it is.
That they could have used those men today.
There it is. Well, KCRA in Sacramento decided to do a fact check on Trump's political statements. Trump, fact check.
So here's a look at the next claim. Quote, he wanted to protect, and he's referencing Newsom, he wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called a smelt by giving it less water. And then in parentheses, he wrote, it didn't work. Now, this is mostly true, but it's not clear what exactly the incoming president is talking about. Newsom is a supporter of the controversial Delta Conveyance Project, which is meant to protect smelt populations in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta. Separately from that, it's not clear if Trump is referring to the plan that his own administration proposed toward the end of his first term, which would have exported more water from the Delta to farmers and cities. According to CalMatters, California officials and environmentalists opposed Trump's plan, saying it would have increased the chances that salmon, smelt, and steelhead would have gone extinct.
Okay, so that wasn't a very good fact check. I see I played them out of order. Here's how it opened with a fact check.
The fires have also turned political. President-elect Donald Trump sounding off on the wildfires in Southern California.
Yeah, as our state's dealing with those, he made a series of social media posts to criticize California and the governor. KCRA3's Capitol correspondent Ashley Zavala combed through his claims, and she gets the facts.
All right, facts.
As those wildfires raged, President-elect Donald Trump took to Truth Social on Wednesday to basically blame Governor Gavin Newsom for what's unfolding in the Los Angeles area. So let's take a look at Trump's claims. Here's the first one. Quote, Governor Governor Gavin Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snowmelt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. Now, this claim is false. State officials, along with Republican sources in California's sources. Legislature, told us today there was never a water restoration declaration for Newsom to sign. Since Newsom has been in office, there has not been legislation that would do what Trump is describing.
Maybe they're being technical about it, but I think that's exactly what you just said there was 10 years ago.
The thing that happened 10 years ago is it was a bill that passed 10 years ago to build more reservoirs, but that wasn't the Trump thing. Trump had a notion to send some of the water that was being flushed out to the San Francisco Bay and into the ocean to Southern California, and it wasn't something that Newsom could sign. So this is misleading, yes. Because it said that Waters himself had it pretty well defined. It was that Newsom sued against it. That's not the same as signing something.
There you go. Of course. It's fact check false. And here's the final one.
And Trump's next claim, quote, on top of it all, no water for fire hydrants, not firefighting planes. So this is somewhat true. Several LA news outlets reported that because of the extreme demand, because of those wildfires.
This fact check is going nowhere, lady.
Fire hydrants ran dry in some areas and water storage tanks did go dry in the Palisades area. Local leaders expressed serious concerns about this. But in terms of actual water supply, Southern California has plenty. CalMatters reported water suppliers have said because of back-to-back years of plenty of precipitation, their reservoirs and groundwater basins are brimming. So on the firefighting planes claim, that is false. California has the largest civil aerial firefighting fleet in the world. The aircrafts were grounded Tuesday night because of extreme wind. Now, since these claims, Trump has posted on Truth Social a few more times. He said in terms of dollar amount, the damage in L.A. could end up being the most expensive in the history of our country. Wow. And doubts that insurance companies will have enough money to pay for the catastrophe. We can't quite fact check that yet because is to be seen.
Yeah. Oh, it could be wrong. It could be a fact check we can do. What kind of reporting is this?
So on the insurance thing, there's a lot of different reporting about insurance companies that pulled out weeks or months before this fire and said, we're no longer insuring you.
State Farm being the biggest.
The Reed lady had Adam Schiff on. He had a little twist on it.
These fires obviously are impacting everyone, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, independent, doesn't matter. All of us are in this together. But I would hope that the incoming president realizes that this affects his supporters as well as anyone else. We're all equally devastated by this. And the federal government is going to need to help. And I'll add one other part of the devastation, which we don't know yet. But in talking to the mayor of Pasadena, he was saying that some of the residents, maybe a lot of the residents in the Eaton Fire area, were having trouble insuring their homes. Some couldn't get their homes insured. Others, the insurance premiums went up so high, they decided not to continue to carry the insurance because they couldn't afford it.
Sounds sketchy. You can't have a mortgage without insurance. The mortgage company will not allow that.
Right, the banks. They won't.
The banks.
They'll get you insurance and charge you.
Yeah. So maybe you'll see people going after State Farm executives now instead of just pharma executives. People are sick. I'm not recommending anything.
Well, but the way it was brought, Steve Hilton had a. I didn't have any more. I could have gotten more rants if I had recorded stuff this morning. Hmm. But the one was it was about the problem with the insurance companies have is that the state capped what you could charge, and they said, "Oh, we don't like that." Then they said also because of regulations in California, which is an overregulated state, it's almost designed to run businesses out of the state. Because of regulations, the cost of rebuilding is so high in California compared to any place else in the country that it makes it impossible to insure people, because to rebuild a $2 million house might cost $3 million.
Right.
I mean, they just got fed up with it. It's not like they're, you know, well, we're leaving because there's gonna might be a fire. Right. I think the insurance companies are being wrongly accused here.
No, where's the fun in that?
Well, I'm just trying to be a little objective.
We have to blame it on insurance companies, black people, lesbians, and Gavin Newsom.
There's also a couple other elements at play that are starting to crop up, which is, how did these fires get started? A lot of people think it may be arson. Homeless encampments.
Oh.
Homeless encampments, because when the winds start blowing, they get cold and they light fires that warm up. Burn barrels.
Mm-hmm.
That's one possibility, which is interesting. And then there's a report that it wasn't the wind so much that kept the tankers from dumping crap on the fires as the fact that there was a no-fly zone, because Biden flew in right during the fires and they put up a no-fly.
Yeah, they put up a NOTAM for quite a long time, but I'm not sure that excludes firefighting planes. I'm not convinced.
Well, you have to look into it.
I did.
But there was a report. I have not confirmed this, but there was a report on one of the radio stations. Mimi told me about it, and she was all pissed off. And she says, yeah, I was listening to the radio and they were saying, I said, nah, it doesn't sound, I said the same thing you just said, doesn't sound right to me. I have not been able to prove it one way or the
other. I saw the NOTAM and notice to airmen. I mean, there's always going to be exclusions to that. And the no-fly zone was for VIP movement. And I'm pretty sure that there's precedence. You can, if you're military.
Yeah, you're pretty sure. We have to know.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm pretty look sure it, that's
look,
not a problem.
Look into it.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Do we want to dedicate the entire broadcast to this, John, or can we move on?
Do I have any other good clips?
Because, you know, that's what everyone else is doing.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. It's an old rule of
broadcasting, broadcast news. It's yeah, go ahead.
It's what everyone's talking about. Why aren't you talking about it? Yeah. I do have two BS clips. I got them noted as BS, so okay. That's got to be interesting.
Oh, that's always.
This is Fire BS the Museum.
The museum.
What is gone now, or what is still in danger at the moment?
Well,
this is a 2 minute, 45 second clip. Is that the intent?
I think it might be the other clip included. You're going to have to interrupt it as you go.
That's all right.
You well know, Elsa, Los Angeles is huge. And most of the places listeners might be familiar with Hollywood Walk of Fame, for example, those are quite far from the fires. Mm-hmm. But there's a beloved place, Will Rogers State Historic Park.
Oh, yeah.
It has the Actors Ranch House, a lot of Western memorabilia. It's on the U.S. National Register of Historic Places. That's right in the Palisades fire zone. And the fire has burned the ranch house basically to the ground and has impacted the surrounding property, and officials are out there assessing the full extent of the damage.
I mean, when I heard that news, I was devastated, because I always peek through the windows when I hike around that area, imagining what it would have been like to live there.
That's right. It's just awful news. The fire also destroyed parts of Topanga State Park, including the historic Topanga Ranch Motel, which was once owned by William Randolph Hearst. And meanwhile, the Getty Villa has had a close call. Mm-hmm. It's an estate with important Greek and Roman sculpture and other artifacts. It's also located in the Palisades fire zone. And trees and brush were burning there yesterday.
Are all the staff members safe at the moment? And what about the buildings and the art there?
So far, staff, buildings, and collections at the villa are safe. I spoke with Michael Rogers. He's the Getty's director of facilities.
We have a strong culture of safety within the institution. We think about emergencies and preparedness constantly.
What has the Getty been doing specifically to keep fires at bay?
Rogers says as soon as they saw the warnings, they made sure they were properly staffed and the emergency services had clear places to do their work on site. And throughout the year, they've been preparing and planning for these kinds of emergencies. For example, cutting back vegetation, doing fuel reduction around the site and its borders.
So should a fire come on that, like it did, it doesn't have as much energy in it to effectively damage your buildings and your surroundings.
Where is this from?
Where's the report?
Yeah, where's it from?
Well, I don't know. Let me think.
NPR?
Like,
is it NPR? Is it NPR?
What do you think?
Oh, they're gonna. Maybe. So let me ask you. is the so the we know the narrative. The narrative has been set. The narrative is firmly planted in everybody's mind. It's government. It's grift. It's insurance companies. It's incompetence. It's California. Will the counter will the counter narrative be climate change? What? I mean,
I'm wondering how they're going to see. You know, we had that one clip that doesn't mention climate change, although you always like to bring up that 1880 material, which is like really rebuts.
We've been doing that.
It rebuts it, I think, as well as anything.
We've been doing that for over
other
a decade.
Reports too. California is notorious for these things. That's why. Since that period, that's why they went through so much trouble over the years when I was a kid at doing the control burns and doing the fire breaks and just having forestry. You know, there's a whole college of forestry at the University of California. It's all they do is work on the whole build dams, do water control. Everything was done for the purpose of not letting this happen. And but it's like one of those things I always like to it's always like the rules that people put in place like you'll have a stock market collapse. And so they'll put all these rules and say, okay, can't do this anymore. We can't do that anymore. So let's put these rules in place. And then 20 or 30 years go by and people look around saying, why do we have these stupid rules? Nothing's going on. Let's take the rules out.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the banking rules where you can't have investment banks with that are also just commercial banks. You can't, you can't do all this kind of thing, which was part of the 29 crash.
The Chinese wall.
And so you created all these rules that stop it from happening. And then after a period of time, says never happens. Why do we have these rules? This never happens.
Glass-Steagall, right? Glass-Steagall, where
Glass-Steagall's a good example. But this is just on and on. And so California, just idiot. Why do we have these dams? I don't know. This is keeping the salmon from being fished by the Indians. Let's take the dams out. It's unbelievable. But this is just a cycle of stupidity.
Well, what I thought was rather humorous, you know, Trump is out trolling every single country in the world, it seems. He's just trolling everybody. And the leader of the Green Party in Canada had a rebuttal, and I'm kind of thinking, yeah, go for it.
Hey, Donald, have we got a deal for you? You think we want to be the 51st state? Nah, but maybe California would like to be the 11th province.
Yes.
How about it? California? Oregon?
Yes.
Washington?
Yes.
You've got geography in common with us. And not only that, we've already got a carbon trading system between California and Quebec. We've got some strong alliances on our West Coast from British Columbia. There's been a lot of academic papers on the idea of Cascadia. So California, Governor Newsom, and Washington State, Jay Inslee, and newly elected Governor of Oregon, Tina Kotek. How about it?
Yeah, I think this is a great idea. I'm all for it. We should give California, Oregon, and Washington states all to Canada. Make them the 11th, 12th, and 13th provinces. This is now finally.
No, all three would be one province.
Just one big
province.
Those provinces
are big.
Yeah, one big province. I think this is a great idea. You know, you could start saying a boot.
I can say a boot. I can talk like a Canadian. Eh? It doesn't take a lot of talent.
And
I'd be glad to do it.
And wow. I never thought this would happen. John Fetterman agrees with you. John Fetterman is all in with you.
Yeah.
When it comes to Greenland.
There's a lot of talk about Greenland, for example. And I know there's a lot of freakouts, you know, and of course I would never support taking it by force. But I do think it's a responsible conversation if they were open to acquiring it and, you know, whether just buying it outright. I mean, if anyone think that's bonkers, it's like, well, remember the Louisiana purchase? Oh, I think Alaska was pretty a great deal too. $50 million, I think it was. It was referred to as Seward's Folly. And now that was Alaska now. So, I mean, you know, open to having all kinds of conversations as well. And now I don't think it's not helpful to freak out. But some things might work out, some may not, but that's part of ongoing dialogue.
Ongoing dialogue.
Well, this would be the third attempt to get Greenland. This happened in 1867 with Johnson.
I actually have a good backgrounder, which surprisingly came from Turkish radio and television, which is kind of runs down the whole gamut of what it is, why it's important, the history of it. It's good.
Many Americans might struggle to point out Greenland on a map.
Hey, easy does it, Turk.
But anyone interested in U.S. security will likely have known for some time. The world's largest island may have the sort of resources Washington needs to protect critical industries, including technology and defense. The island is an autonomous territory of Denmark and home to just 56,000 people, but it covers an area of 2.1 million square kilometers. That's larger than the combined sizes of France, Germany, Spain, the UK, Italy, and other smaller European countries. Its capital, Nuuk, is closer to New York than it is to Copenhagen, and this location makes it hugely valuable to the US. Situated uniquely between North America and Europe, it's long been thought of as key to defending the US from missile attacks. So much so, the US has an air defense base in the island's northwest called Pacific Space Base, which has a missile warning system. It's also hugely significant for international trade. The Northwest Passage shipping lane runs along its coastline and is part of the Greenland-Iceland-UK gap, a key strategic route. Perhaps most significant, however, Greenland is thought to contain deposits of rare earth minerals as well as oil and gas. The minerals are in high demand as they're used in things like electric cars, as well as green energy tech, not to mention other tech, including military. Climate change and melting polar ice could make these natural resources more accessible and cheaper to get hold of, as well as opening up more shipping routes. Donald Trump isn't the first U.S. president to put Greenland on his shopping list either. President Andrew Johnson considered buying the island in 1867 when the American government purchased Alaska. After the Second World War, Harry Truman tried again, offering Denmark $100 million for it. Greenland currently relies on a $500 million annual grant from Denmark, which is a key reason it has refrained from declaring independence. It is, though, trying to boost business and rely less on fishing.
Yeah, I think Greenland is making waves about this. You imagine this, 56,000 people. Like, yeah, we could all make a bundle on this.
Well, Don Jr.'s there.
No, he's already back.
Oh, yes. Well, he supposedly went, well, I saw him when he went, and I didn't see him personally, but he was there, and it seems that the Greenlanders like to see him, and the, you may be right. This, I mean, the Denmark's not too pleased about this, but they can get some serious money.
Here's I have a clip.
Greenland is not for sale. This is what said both the Danish Prime Minister and Greenland's Prime Minister. Clearly, Donald Trump's interest in the Arctic territory has generated a lot of talks here in Denmark and has made headlines, but the Danish Prime Minister is calling for calm. Mette Frederiksen has said that she does not believe that Donald Trump's interest in Greenland would actually result in any action, and she stressed that Greenland belongs to the Greenlandic people and that any conversation about Greenland should start and end in Nuuk, not in Florida, not in Washington, and not even in Copenhagen. This is also what said a Greenlandic member of the Danish parliament yesterday. She said that it is not up to the United States to decide what the future of Greenland is, but this is up to the people in Greenland. On social media as well, people have largely condemned what Donald Trump has said, but some in Greenland have actually welcomed the U.S. interest in the in the region, saying that this should be a wake-up call for Denmark and that this could actually speed up efforts towards an independence from Denmark.
Oh, this is what we call the catbird seat. Hey,
I think this is going to happen.
I'm with you. Why wouldn't it? What's Denmark going to do?
Well, they're not going to. I mean,
they'll get some money. They'll send an invoice.
They just said, I think this is the key. It's up to the Greenlanders.
Yeah.
Well, they're screwed. I mean, if you're going to have a choice, you want to be part of Denmark, you want to be part of the United States, and we're going to probably, you know, besides protecting you from all kinds of stuff, we're going to bribe you.
Yeah.
The way we love to do. You're going to have nothing but, you know, you're going to eat a lot better. You're going to build bigger. Who knows? But whatever the case, it just sounds like something that's. And I don't know what all these pundits are going to do about it, because they've all been poo-pooing the idea and thinking Trump's nuts.
They have a very short view of history. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we purchased Alaska and Hawaii.
We never purchased Hawaii.
No, we kind of Took it over. We kind of said, it's ours.
It's like Puerto Rico. We never purchased Puerto Rico.
You said, this is ours.
It's like, you know, we're going to use this as a base here. I mean, for now.
We come across as big bullies, which is okay. I mean, we need a shakeup. I think that a global shakeup is good, put everybody on notice. But at the same time, it's brought humor back into politics. I'm kind of digging it. So, you know, here's... this is ABC. Oh, Trump, he's got all these crazy ideas.
This morning, President-elect Trump doubling down on his push to take over Greenland and the Panama Canal, refusing to rule out using the military to do it.
Can you assure the world that as you try to get control of these areas, you are not going to use military or economic coercion?
No, I can't assure you on either of those two. But I can say this. We need them for economic security.
Trump has suggested buying Greenland in the past, but the Prime Minister of Denmark says it's not for sale. Donald Trump Jr. visited the territory yesterday, but did not meet with government officials. Critics say the president-elect should be focused on more pressing issues like grocery prices. As for the Panama Canal,
no es negociable.
Panama's Foreign Affairs Secretary saying the sovereignty of our canal is non-negotiable. Trump also floating the idea of renaming the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate.
Changing the Gulf of Mexico's name in American documentation is technically possible, but there's no guarantee other countries would go along with the rebrand.
The rebrand. It's a rebranding.
You know, the funny thing is about that Gulf of America, it's not taking anything away from Mexico or anyone else, because it's not the Gulf of the United States.
No, Gulf of America, which is
America, which everyone's over the years. Well, wait a minute. We're Canadians. We're in America. Excellent, because America point. Is everything.
Excellent,
you know, they
point.
Like to say, oh, Central America,
yep.
Latin America,
North America, South America. It's America. Yeah. Gulf of America. It's much more appropriate. But I like Sheinbaum, the Mexican president, because she got into it and she had a little attempt at humor herself.
After Donald Trump declared he'd rename the Gulf of Mexico, President Claudia Sheinbaum showed off her sense of humor.
The Gulf of Mexico is, of course, the name that's recognized by the United Nations. But why don't we call the United States
America Mexicana?
Mexican America. It sounds nice, doesn't it?
¿Verdad que sí?
A sarcastic response to the president-elect's comment, which came along with other declarations, such as his ambition to claim control of Greenland and the Panama Canal.
So we're going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, which has a beautiful ring that covers a lot of territory. The Gulf of America, what a beautiful name. And it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
Trump and Sheinbaum have been trading jibes in the weeks running up to the U.S. president's return to office, notably on the matters of tariffs and of migration. Despite the taunts, left-wing Sheinbaum said she believes a positive partnership is possible with Donald Trump.
We must wait for him, Donald Trump, to take office. And in any case, there's international law. I still think there will be good relations with President Trump. Why? Because there were good relations with our former president, López Obrador.
Trump will be sworn into office on the 20th of January as the 47th president of, perhaps, Mexican America.
All right, frog. I like it. It brings back humor into international politics. This used to go on all the time. You make little jokes. It's good. It's good. It shakes things up. It's good. I think it's good.
I like it.
Meanwhile, Trump is also gearing up for China. Oh, man. Sir Mark Hall, remember, he was born in Panama, still has a place down there. He is mad about this Panama talk. It's an outrage. Trump had poisoned eggnog. Trump is no good. Yeah, not liking it. Not liking it at all.
Yeah, so he preferred the Chinese to run the Panama Canal. Is that what he says?
Let me see. I have... here. I went back. Well, let me see. Trump not backing off his Panama rants. Did you hear his news conference? Where's he getting his info? Bolton with the porn stash? He's suffering from bad eggnog. Went back and listened to yesterday's Trump press conference. His statements on Panama were all inaccurate. The canal is the most expensive infrastructure in the world? China running the canal? Where's he getting this crap? He's trying to use the two ports on either end of the canal to trigger the protection clause of the neutrality agreement to legally justify a military occupation of the canal, it appears. Possibly, and I hope, he's putting extreme pressure on the president of Panama to unwind the BRI agreements. That's the Belt and Road Initiative. That would be hard since China has invested over $2.5 billion since 2017, and U.S. foreign aid has been about $300 million, much of it for migration assistance.
Yeah, so it's all about the money.
Yep. Well, yeah. Well, we have a history with the region.
In fact, Panama wasn't even a country.
Yeah, well, all right. It's john@dvorak.org. He can email you. I'm just reporting that
you're his buddy. You can deal with
yes,
him.
We're friends, of course. Of course, he gets ivermectin for me from Panama, smuggles it in the country. But I don't want to ruin my supplier. It's important. You know,
ivermectin is obtainable.
Yeah, very expensive. Huh. We used to have a connection in Thailand. Now Thailand doesn't take PayPal anymore.
Well, use Stripe.
Nope. You have to use bank wire.
Oh, well, that's overhead.
No, it's horrible. But Trump is getting ready for China, as predicted. What have I been saying?
You've been saying is that it's about the boats.
It's about the ships. It's the big, beautiful ships.
Boats.
I want to talk to you about the Navy. The greatest presidents of the 20th century, Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, and Reagan, all built the Navy. Do you intend to rebuild the Navy?
I do. We have a great gentleman that, you know, as you know, perhaps
John Phelan.
You get him on your show.
Yep.
He's fantastic. John is fantastic. Very, very
is that
successful
the Trump
business
or a
person.
Fake
very
Trump?
No, that's Trump. He just sounds a little, it's Trump.
I think just a couple of Trumps out there, but go on.
Only the real Trump could speak like this.
Fantastic. Very, very successful business person. Very successful. Top. And he's in charge of it, and we're going to do something with ships. We need ships.
Ships.
And we may have to go a different route than you would normally go. That's, you know, starting to build. We don't build ships anymore. We used to build a ship a day. We don't build ships anymore. We want to get that started. And maybe we'll use allies also in terms of building ships.
Maybe.
We might have to. We need ships. China's building, from what I'm hearing, every 4 days, they're knocking out a ship. And we're sitting back watching. We've suffered tremendously during the Biden administration. All he knew about was the Green New Deal, building nonsense, giving money away, putting windmills all over the place. I gave out a great contract for essentially destroyers. Beautiful. They were beautiful. I even had something to do. I'm a person that believes in the beauty of a ship. It doesn't cost anymore to have the right angles. And it was really beautiful.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. Beautiful ships. I also got a boots on the ground. Oh, I got something in my throat. Hold on. ITM. I'm here at the federal FHWA. What's that? The Federal Highway Administration. Transportation Research Board annual meeting in D.C. Sitting in at the Department of Defense asphalt and concrete pavement meetings. Each of these are 4 hours long. Oh, yeah. DOD isn't focused on building runways in Europe. Major paving projects planned throughout the Pacific. Your prediction seems to align with where we're going to be laying asphalt and concrete runways over the next several years. Please don't use my real name. Please refer to me as Commodore of the Smooth Texas Highways. So there it is. The islands.
Another No Agenda Commodore checking in.
That's right. They check in, man, and they tell us what's going on. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, there's meetings everywhere.
It's good. Yeah, good meeting. Good meetings. It's very good meetings. I love it. Boots on the ground from the Netherlands regarding Trump's election influence. I work in one of the main consultancy firms in the Netherlands doing projects for all the ministries here. That would be the government ministries, not the churches, working on everything from the Dutch DOD, CDC, which is known as the RIVM, housing projects, environment stuff, municipality, education, et cetera, basically everything. Then that's all the Netherlands is these days, is consultancies, accounting firms, and banks. That's where all the Russians put their money. Since the election, there's been a 180-degree turn at our meetings. Practically all ESG themes, which were fundamental up until the moment in the organization, were completely scrapped. From an extreme focus on all woke themes, from inclusion to climate change and everything in between, we went totally the other direction, focusing on security for immigration, economy, and other real issues. It's a huge relief for me personally, but also slightly disturbing that the election on the other side of the Atlantic directly has such a fundamental change. We didn't vote, and still the whole world seems to have been turned upside down. The same change, by the way, can be seen in daily conversations in and outside of the workplace. Even the extremely woke media here seems to be changing, ever so slightly, back to some form of sanity. Well, how about that? They're all changing their tune.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Well, when it comes to changing your tune, the biggest change of tune would be Mark Zuckerberg with his Meta announcement.
Fallout tonight after Meta's mega move to eliminate traditional fact-checking.
Mega move.
On the world's biggest social media platform.
We've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The fact-checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the U.S.
It's a significant shift from the fact-checking put in place after Donald Trump's first win. Instead, Meta will now rely on community notes, in other words, user input, similar to what Elon Musk's X platform does, as part of a broader move to loosen up how Meta moderates content. The company will also lift restrictions on hot-button topics like gender identity and immigration, allow more politics into people's feeds, and move its trust and safety team from liberal California to ruby red Texas.
Yeah.
All just ruby days red. Before President-elect Trump retakes the White House.
The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech.
It's a political evolution for Meta, 4 years after Facebook suspended Mr. Trump's account in the wake of January 6th, yep. And just months after the president-elect accused Zuckerberg of plotting against him in 2020, calling for life in prison if Zuckerberg did it again. But after Mr. Trump's win, Zuckerberg traveled to Mar-a-Lago. His company donated $1 million to the Trump Inaugural Fund. And now close Trump ally and UFC head Dana White is joining Meta's board.
Meta. Facebook. I think they've come a long way up.
Do you think he's directly responding to the threats that you have made to him in the past?
Some critics concerned.
Fact-checking is not censorship.
What do you see as the Trump factor, if you will, here?
This is very obviously a political decision.
Yeah. It's great. And he got a perm.
Well, the irony still is that whatever fact-checkers they're going to have, they're moving to Austin.
Yeah.
It's worse there than it is in California, generally speaking.
Yeah, but that's not the fact-checkers.
Because they're all Californians that have moved there.
That's not the fact. It's the trust and safety team. It's not the same as fact-checkers.
Yeah, I have to say, a bunch of doofuses.
I kind of enjoyed the community notes. I didn't know what to think of it at first, but
I liked it from the get-go.
Yeah, I see it on, you know, because people will email me something. Look at this. Look at this. This guy's got an egg with nuclear energy in it.
The Enron egg.
You click on the link, and I don't even have to look at the video, which is 4.5 minutes long, because right there is a community note. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. This report continues.
Over the next 4 years, the Trump administration will set key policy on critical tech topics like antitrust and AI. And as Meta has pushed into the world of artificial intelligence, new tonight, NBC News has found user-generated AI chatbots that seemingly violated Meta's policies against creating characters based on religious or real-life figures. An NBC News review found some 24 chatbots ranging from Hitler and Jesus Christ to Taylor Swift and Captain Jack Sparrow.
Meta took down those individual accounts after our team reached out, and in a statement says they are continuously improving their detection measures.
You narcs at NBC, Narc Broadcast Corporation. We could take down the fun stuff. Oh, that's against your policy.
Oh, Jack Sparrow, that's a fake. Really?
The European
Union. No one will figure that one out.
The European Union, not so happy with Mr. Zuckerberg.
The EU absolutely refutes claims of censorship. That's according to a spokesperson for the European Commission.
Listen to this guy. So he's going to say, we do not force these companies to censor anything. But listen how he says it.
Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of social media giant Meta, accused the bloc of passing laws which institutionalize a suppression of free speech. He made the comments during a video message announcing the company would get rid of independent fact checkers in the United States. Meta said the decision was to make freedom of expression a priority. The EU says it does that.
We don't ask any platform to remove any lawful content.
Lawful content.
We just need to make the difference between illegal content and then content that is potentially harmful. This is an in-between category. Harmful for minors, harmful for our democracies. And we ask just platforms to take appropriate risk mitigation measures.
Let me see. The in-between categories, don't you think that there's probably some free speech in there that people just want to show their discontent, which you're calling danger to democracies?
Meta has sent a risk assessment report to the bloc on how the changes to its fact-checking system would work if they were to be introduced in Europe. Such research is required under EU law.
Working with such independent fact-checkers can be considered as an effective way to mitigate systemic risks stemming from very large online platform services. For example, risks relating to disinformation, risks relating to electoral processes or civic discourse.
Oh, man.
The tech giant plans to replace its fact-checkers with a community notes system. Users will moderate content themselves, but some experts warn this will remove safeguards.
Meta, by doing this, are retreating from facts. They're retreating from truth. And by switching to a community notes model, they're effectively trying to capture tidal wave in a bucket, and it's not going to work.
They are beside themselves. They don't know what to make of it. We had control.
You are so screwed up.
Oh, yeah. And Elon, or as they say in Europe, Elon, for some reason, the whole world says Elon Musk, but in Europe, you got to say Elon. I don't know why.
Well, it's like Lundras.
Elon. Now they're, because he's doing all kinds of stuff that Osterreich. They don't like. He's doing all kinds of stuff that's just getting their goat.
Elon Musk has become meddler-in-chief. You name it, and the richest man in the world has commented on it. From pumping millions of dollars into President-elect Trump's campaign in the U.S. election, he's now focused his sights across the pond, ahead of a crucial year for EU countries.
The international ultra-right that we've been opposing in Spain for years, led in this case by the richest man on the planet, openly attacks our institutions, incites hatred, and openly supports the heirs of Nazism in Germany in the next elections to be held in the most important country in the European economy.
Foreign intervention in a country's domestic politics is rarely greeted with welcoming applause. And when the interference comes from the person in control of one of the most dominant social media platforms, it can have consequences. Amid Germany's election campaign season, it's bolstering the far right. His latest target is the United Kingdom, calling on the King to dissolve Parliament and accusing the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, of being complicit in the rape of Britain. A cabinet minister was also in Musk's line of fire, who has dismissed the billionaire's comments for now.
I have no... Elon Musk is going to Elon Musk.
His live stream on X invitation to German far-right leader Alice Weidel right. is sparking fury over unfair exposure ahead of Germany's election. European leaders say he's gone too far, while Brussels has been urged to use its digital legal might to rein him in. Pursuing action against a major tech tycoon would be tricky enough. But more to the point, like it or not, in just a few days' time, Musk will become part of the United States administration, meaning a spat with Musk is tantamount to a confrontation with Washington.
No,
Well, go on.
I was going to say, still not a fan of Elon Musk, but as a move on Trump's part, brilliant.
I've come to the conclusion that Musk has decided, and I think with the with probably the encouragement of Trump, to become his hatchet man.
Yeah, well, that's what he is, clearly.
And I think the best example is the Keir Starmer thing, where he
yes.
Because Starmer and his boys in the Labour Party sent a bunch of people, volunteers, to interfere with the American elections by sending volunteers over here from Britain.
From the Labour Party.
To knock on doors.
Yep.
To tell people to vote for Kamala. And this is not good. And so okay, you want to play that game? We're going to send our hatchet man, Elon Musk, who can really stir up some stuff. And he's done a fabulous job, I think, of really putting the pressure on Starmer and these guys. In fact, I have two clips from England's parliament.
Oh, good. I have
not questioned.
Yeah, good. I have clips from this. Maybe if I play my CBC clips, because they don't really have the parliament stuff. If you have the parliament stuff, that's good.
Well, the stuff, I don't have my parliament stuff is just about the kind of stuff going on. Oh, okay. Some commentary. So whatever you're playing is different. But my point I was trying to make there was that Musk looks like, and I think it's kind of an interesting thing to want to be a hatchet man. You know, the enforcer, the guy who goes out there and stirs up stuff on behalf of the boss.
Well, just look at what he posts about himself. Look at the memes. You know, Tony Stark, I've got my Halloween costume. I look like a badass. This is exactly what a nerdy kid with hair plugs would do. Give him a big.
He's enjoying himself.
Yes, he is. Give him a big keychain. I got big keychain. I'm in charge here. He's a hall monitor. Hall monitor. There it is. Elon Musk, the hall monitor. He loves that. Should I play these Starmer clips? You want to do Parliament first?
No, play Starmer first so we can get him out of the way.
CBC.
Keir Starmer wanted to focus on improving British health care, but there was no way for him to avoid addressing Elon Musk's latest broadside. In a social media post, the world's richest man and a key Donald Trump confidant questioned whether it was time for America to liberate Britons from their tyrannical government.
We've seen this playbook many times, whipping up of intimidation and threats of violence, hoping that the media will amplify it.
Starmer appeared to be referencing Musk's ongoing smears against him and his cabinet minister, Jess Phillips. Before he was PM, Starmer headed the UK's Public Prosecution Service, during which time several thousand girls were victimized by mostly British Pakistani gangs and sexually exploited. Subsequent inquiries determined local authorities often failed to properly investigate, partially out of fear of being seen as racist. After Phillips, the current Minister for Women's Safety, rejected calls for a new inquiry, Musk weighed in. He called her a rape genocide apologist who should be in jail alongside Starmer.
This is incredible. Yeah. Some girl, it's like 250,000 young girls.
It's outrageous. I mean, there's no scandal. If Musk keeps this up, this guy's done.
Starmer defended his own efforts at bringing a record number of such cases to trial, and Phillips for being a dogged advocate for abused women.
When the poison of the far right leads to serious threats to Jess Phillips and others,
far right,
then in my book, a line has been crossed.
Ooh. In all my years of following British politics, I can't remember an incident like this.
Political scientist Tim Bale says Musk appears to have a hate on for Labour's left-of-centre administration.
He's trying to disrupt the so-called special relationship, if you like, between the UK, or at least this government of the UK, and the incoming Trump administration.
Today, without directly mentioning Musk's name, France's President Emmanuel Macron urged democracies to be vigilant. He accused Musk of backing a new international reactionary movement. For Starmer, criticizing Musk comes with risks. With Trump poised to take over, and with Musk as one of his most influential advisors, the worry is offending him could turn the incoming U.S. president against Britain as well.
Notice they no longer use the term loyalist with Musk. No, he's an ally, advisor. No, he is definitely shaking things up.
Well, let's reiterate the fact that Starmer involved himself in the United States election by backing Kamala Harris and sending people over here to knock on doors.
That's right.
That was they're not going to have a good relationship with the UK until this is straightened out. And the only guy, that's going to force the issue is Musk. So talking about Starmer wanting to fix health service and NHS. So I found a source for Parliament online.
No.
And people should look at it and try to get me some clips. It's called ParliamentLive.tv. Mm. And they have both the House of Commons and the House of Lords, which I've never witnessed.
Oh.
The House of Lords is, and the contrast between watching the two, for one thing, the House of Lords has red leather seating and the House of Parliament has green. And the House of Lords, I would say 75% of the members of the House of Lords
are dead,
are masked up.
Really?
It's like you look at it and go, why are all these people masked up? And I looked, first I looked at it and I said, oh, this must be an old clip. Old clip.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No. And no, they're just masked up and they're all worried. I don't know. It's the damnedest thing you've ever seen. But Parliament, no, they're not masked up at all. But I want to play a couple of these clips. This is the House of Lords. This is just a very short clip talking about NHS. A woman is complaining about what Starmer's trying to fix, or what they're not going to fix, if you listen to this.
The pandemic added a huge strain to the NHS. Resources were redeployed away from elective care, and much elective care was postponed to reduce the spread of COVID. For example, before the pandemic, 54 women had been waiting more than 12 months for a gynaecological appointment. By the time the pandemic was over, that number had gone from 54 to 40,000.
Whoa.
So you have to wait 12 months for a gynecological exam?
Yeah.
40,000 people are on the waiting list to wait 12 months? What kind of operation are they running there?
I mean, we have people in No Agenda Nation who will do that for you.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. So... Now, so we go to the House of Commons, and they just reopened for after New Year's. This is their first session, and I just thought this was somewhat ironic because they start off with the speaker going on and on about this. Welcome back, Happy New Year, and we're going to look forward to years of peace. Mm-hmm. And what is the first thing that actually happens? Take a listen to this.
Order, order.
Order.
I first of all wish everybody a happy new year and let's hope for a peaceful one. Right, we start with questions, Secretary of State for Defence, Harpreet Appel.
Happy New Year, Mr. Speaker, and everybody here today. Question number one, please.
Secretary of State.
Mr. Speaker, this day is day 1049 of Russia's brutal, illegal, full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and this year, 2025, will be the critical year in the conflict. My job as Defence Secretary is to put Ukrainians in the strongest possible position on the battlefield and at any negotiating table. So throughout 2025, we will develop UK training, we will strengthen defence industrial cooperation, we will increase pressure with allies on Russia, and we will step up and speed up military aid to Ukraine.
It's all about peace.
There's peace. Now, I didn't get any more clips because... everyone after that for the next 10 questions of this guy, are we sure that Ukraine will get more of our money? It was just went on and on. It was like, what kind of peace are we talking about here in the UK? These people are insane.
Well, they're probably also all part of the new to be built military industrial base, the war mindset of NATO. And that's what our buddy Mark Rutte said. We must have a war mindset about all this. It's very good. War mindset is good. All right, let me shift gears for a second here to ISIS in America, because we should be very afraid. I know we've forgotten about it. The fire has distracted us, but we still have potential for ISIS in America. But we start first with the exploding Cybertruck. outside of Trump Hotel. We have a new twist.
Well, now the major developments in the investigation.
I'm sorry, a major development.
Into the Colorado Springs man linked to last week's Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas. Authorities say Matthew Leibelsberger, an active duty U.S. Army Green Beret, used artificial intelligence to plan the blast. The Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department reports that Matthew Leibelsberger used ChatGPT to gather information for his plot. Officials did not indicate what results ChatGPT gave the suspect in response to his searches about explosives and firearms. Video shows Leibelsberger pouring racing fuel in the back of a Cybertruck, where investigators said there was more than 60 pounds of explosive material. Officials also finding a six-page manifesto on Leibelsberger's cell phone outlining numerous political and social grievances and speaking about his intent to, quote, make this as public as possible.
So AI is good. Good. We bring in some AI for some, you know, some discussions about how dangerous it is and not to be left out. No. But more tech companies need to be involved in these attacks who go to New Orleans.
Well, this as investigators have uncovered video taken by the suspect using Meta smart glasses. Shamsuddin Jabbar recorded scenes while he rode a bike around the French Quarter. Surveillance video shows Jabbar with what investigators say are two explosives inside of coolers. They say he planned those in the area, planted them right before the attack. The explosives never detonated.
Meta glasses. Beautiful. Tech is great. And then we have
this
our...
This guy was supposed to be broke and all the rest.
He had meta glasses. Well, it's obvious his intent was not to mow people down. It was to detonate bombs. And he had a transmitter. He had a transmitter, but he didn't get a chance to hit the transmitter for some reason. Or maybe he was, and it was a bogus transmitter given to him by an undercover FBI agent, which seems to be the typical...
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it was.
That's what usually happens with these things. Someone sent me the definition of a targeting officer. We're talking about Sarah Adams for a moment. It's interesting that, you know, a lot of people were kind of upset. I wouldn't say super upset. Some even said, I'm saying this with a kind voice. Please don't do my voice. You know, they all think that, gosh, the programming is so deep that all of these ex-military podcasters.
That guy.
Just, you know, they're upset because they fought all their, you know, their careers fighting ISIS. And now, you know, they're inside the country and they're going to attack us, which supposedly is revenge for bin Laden. I don't know why they waited for Trump.
Biden was an easier, softer target.
Yeah. So,
but, and Biden is more closely connected to the bin Laden murder.
And, you know, and then they'll,
Hello.
And they bring up, you know, the Chinese buying up farmlands, the Chinese men of military. Oh, yeah. This is all psychological operation. I mean, it's just to get everybody on edge and then to start to form a narrative. So here's the, you can actually, USAjobs.gov has a job available as a CIA targeting officer. And let's just see what the details are. As a targeting officer at CIA, you will identify the people, relationships, and organizations having access to the information needed to address the most critical U.S. foreign intelligence requirements and find opportunities to disrupt terrorist attacks, illegal arms trade, drug networks, cyber threats, and counterintelligence threats. As a targeting officer at CIA, you will identify the people and organizations having access to the information needed to address these most critical U.S. foreign intelligence requirements. Targeting officers are integral to the planning and implementation of Directorate of Operations, foreign intelligence collection, counterintelligence, and covert action operations. You'll combine specialized training, utilize advanced analytic skills and tools, and in-depth knowledge and experience in Directorate of Operations, operational tradecraft to identify new opportunities for DO activities and enhance ongoing operations. Well, it seems like someone who...
Where did that ad come from?
USAjobs.gov.
That is the screwiest ad. You wouldn't advertise like that.
Well, I think that Sarah Adams is doing her job quite well, although she's billed as a former targeting officer. She's done exactly what she needs to do. She's infiltrated these podcasts. She's treated like royalty. Oh, no, she's legit because she wrote a book on Benghazi. Was she in Benghazi? No. Okay. And it's already seeped through to Fox News. This is Emily, who co-hosts Outnumbered on Fox News.
Oh, Campagna, the ex-cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders. University of California, another University of California person.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
And the broader picture, too, as we all head down the pike of 2025, is that we need to steward intelligence appropriately. Sarah Adams and her incredible intelligence group, she was a former CIA targeter, has talked at length about what to expect in 2025. And there are two things to note. Number one, that those terrorist groups who are acting in concert with each other have great plans for the United States and Europe and parts of the Middle East. And those come in the forms of surges and waves and expecting in terms of large group activities and sports events. Embassies, train stations, and the like, and also their advancements in technology, which include invisible suicide vests and certain weapons that can make.
Oh, it's gone from invisible. It's gone from invisible bombs to invisible suicide vests. Now this is a step up from where we were.
To include invisible suicide vests and certain weapons that can make it through those metal detectors and more. All of this is coming down the pike, but means nothing to the American people if our southern border and northern are so porous that they can get these machines and people through. And then we don't steer these resources appropriately so they can run rampant through the city. Now, I know this person has been identified as a lone wolf, but the point is that the risk is great. And this kind of stuff is not a one-step myopic approach. We need to have a long-term view and a long-term collection of these assets and this intelligence so that we do the right things with it. I have faith it'll start happening after January 20th.
I don't think she's an analyst on this stuff, so she's being told what to say, or maybe she's reading off the prompter, but it became a little more clear with this NPR interview with a professor of Islamic history from Dartmouth University. And he makes it very clear that we got to be very careful. We have some confirmation hearings coming up. I keep to my original thesis.
Oh, yeah. And just to be clear, you're saying the FBI on a weekly basis is breaking up attacks here on U.S. soil.
On a weekly basis. No, 6-weekly basis.
That is correct. Yeah. In fact, I follow the FBI's arrest of ISIS operatives on a daily basis. And hardly a week goes by where they are not just disrupting. You know, their job is to deter, disrupt, and in some ways prevent new attacks. And they are being so vigilant. You know, but they can't make one mistake. They can't miss one. Because they do, we might have another Bourbon Street-style massacre.
If they miss even one, they're going to have another bourbons. Wait a minute. They missed that one.
Yeah, I know. This guy, he's clear what his job is. His job is to tell NPR that these new people coming in, Tulsi Gabbard.
No good.
No, we
don't want Kash Patel for sure.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned it.
We might have another Bourbon Street style massacre. They really have a lot of pressure on them. And I fear that when Donald Trump comes in and announces that he's the disruptor in chief, he is going to disrupt the FBI by putting someone like Kash Patel.
Oh, no.
I've heard nothing from the Trump administration or from Kash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, about using the FBI to protect American lives on the country. They're going to weaponize it to go after political opponents.
Well, and we know that Kash Patel, Trump's FBI director nominee, calls the FBI the deep state because the agency investigated Trump. Political opponent in his eyes.
Oh, okay. We know that. And NPR, we know it's just because
Trump
just hates him.
They mentioned the bogus FISA warrants or spying at the Trump Tower.
No.
Wiretaps. You mentioned any of that stuff?
No. Trump is going to put us all in peril with his Syria strategy.
So, yes, that concern. Are you also concerned about President Trump bringing troops out of Syria? Because we know in Syria, we've got the pro-American Kurds running a third of the country. The other part of the country is being run by fighters who had ties to ISIS. The Kurds are holding ISIS fighters in these open-air prisons that are only fomenting more, support for ISIS. And Donald Trump is talking about withdrawing all the 2,000 U.S. troops. Are you worried about you know, the Kurds being overrun, those ISIS fighters being unleashed? I mean, what are your thoughts about Syria?
You know, I've spent time on the ground there with those brave pro-women's rights, pro-Christian, pro-American, democratic Kurds. But then along comes Trump, and he gets bored of the wars, and he decides he's going to just yank off.
He's bored. He's bored of the wars because the rest of America wants them.
Then along comes Trump, and he gets bored of the wars, and he decides he's going to just yank all of our troops out without any discussion with the Pentagon, who's waging this counterinsurgency to stop ISIS, which has not 100% been defeated, as Trump falsely proclaims. That is a very, very dangerous lie. ISIS has not been defeated. They have regrouped. They are resilient. They are waging a timeless war of attrition. They call Nakia. Nakia means outlasting the enemy, as we saw the Taliban do in Afghanistan.
That's right. Makia. It's Makia. Makia in Omarika.
Ow! ISIS. We will follow them to the gates of hell. ISIS. I feel good.
One of our producers put together a website, which is borderline good taste.
Oh, I know.
ISISflags.com. Just take a look. It's pretty funny. Planning your next terrorist attack? The pressure is on. Every 6 weeks, a new story. Every 6 weeks, a mention on the No Agenda show. While you are scheming to create a scenario that fits the narrative, why not buy your ISIS flags right here and support the best podcast in the universe?
Oh, jeez. You gotta knock on the door.
I mean, it's very humorous. What is the six-week cycle? Yeah, it's all. What is value for value? I mean, all of it is good. It's, some work was put into it. I appreciate it. Yeah, but this is what they're doing. And I'm just sad because I think good guys, I think Sean Ryan's a good guy. You know, they're just being psyoped into this. It's like, this is not necessary. But, you know,
it is necessary.
What? Well,
from their perspective, it's all necessary. It's
very necessary. I agree. I agree with you there. I agree. Let me see. What? By the way, I was thinking, just back to Musk for a second. Depending on what happens with TikTok, wouldn't that be perfect for Musk to take over TikTok?
I'm sure he'd love to.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't he make it happen? By the way, this is not meant to usurp, but meant to encourage you. I can't believe I'm saying that. I have a single TikTok clip of a Dululu girl.
Oh, is it one of my Dululu girls? You think it's the one I have?
I don't know. Oh, maybe it is. Let me see. I'll start it, and if it's her, you'll tell me to stop, and then I'll let you do your clips. Here we go.
Yeah, that's her. I got that one.
Okay, do it.
I can tell already.
You do it. Do your Dululu girls, because this, I did some research into this. This is very interesting.
Tell me more.
Well, no, let's do the clips first. You got to have the clips. Well, that's the law girl.
Well, the one, I think this is the one that you have, which is the law girl.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Dululu 4.
Yeah, exact same length.
And she cites some law which has nothing to do with anything. I looked at this law.
Yeah, I did. And
it just says, you know, you can't rig an election. But that's what it says.
Well, I tried to get into it, to understand why she thinks that. Well, let's play the clip, and that'll be make it a little more clear. That right there, it should be. Did you ISO that? Because that's the ISO of the year.
It's definitely ISO material.
You should have heard me hollering, because, honey, what I need is law, and that is the law. And maybe, listen, when I read that, I hollered, ooh, because I knew it had to exist somewhere, but I didn't know where to look. I didn't know how to find it. I just had to try. trust that it existed. And this is the part that I really trusted in. You've got a woman who has fought for her career to ascend to these levels that she's gotten to. For her entire career, she's been about public service. She's served in three levels of public service in the law. She is a prosecutor. Of course she knows this stuff. And you know what else? The Obamas produced a movie about this. They laid out the whole plan for us. And at the end of that movie, I already told you about it in a couple of videos back. At the end of the movie, the girl is in the bunker eating snacks, watching Friends, listening. That is what I needed. Oh, that man. Gave me baby, let the clown show begin. It started. It just started. Pow! That was good news for my day.
My goodness. Well, she's going to be very disappointed. So she refers to it was a term she had, like a legal rule or something. But she refers to 9-85.300, non-interference in elections when conducting federal criminal investigations into ballot fraud. And so they say that the department has a limited role in the process of investigating ballot fraud and should generally avoid interfering or appear to interfere with election administration, tabulation, validation, or certification. And therefore, the Department of Justice should not engage in any overt criminal investigative measures in matters involving alleged ballot fraud until the election in question has been concluded, its results certified, and all recounts and election contests concluded. So I think what she is saying is that there was some massive ballot fraud, which I think is true because somehow 15 million Democrat ballots disappeared. I think Trump took those, or Elon might have taken them up to Starlink. Therefore, this will be declared null and void, and Kamala Harris will be seated on her throne as the president of the United States.
I think that must be the interpretation. And because I have a couple more clips of dudes that say that kind of, because this has been black women mostly, but these dudes have saying the same thing. And what they're, and the argument is now, the current argument is, well, they have to, the reason that Kamala went up and they confirm the election, the results of the election, they had to do that in advance of them being able to put the charges together.
Okay.
Because if you don't make the election official, then you haven't committed the crime yet.
Oh, the crime has to be committed. So which one is this? Delulu 3? Well,
I
don't know.
I think both these guys kind of say something the same. I got two of them. Let's start with dude number 3.
Everyone doing today? The election results were technically certified. Harris swore them in.
Did he have a nose ring, John? Did he have
they always have nose rings. I have some discussion of nose rings from a nose ring guy who's one of our producers. It would pissed off about my assertion that the nose rings are a cry for help, and people want to be led around by the nose. That's where the nose ring is very symbolic. And he has some comments about that I can talk about after these clips.
Whatever she does. And I'm checking in on my blue Delulu family. So now at this point, the crime has officially been committed, right? And did anyone see that after the whole Electoral College vote was counted, that those privileged resolutions were entered on the books for tomorrow? Something is happening, you guys. And I know I always sound like a conspiracy theorist. I've said this for weeks and months, and it feels like years, but it's all going to happen. It's happening. It's coming to a head. The executive orders that Biden has been passing over the last 4 to 5 days, the vote today, these resolutions, something is going on. OMG. Not to mention, did you guys see JD Vance the whole time? angry and uncomfortable the entire time. You ever seen someone who won be so upset? Meanwhile, Trump has been putting out Truth Social post after Truth Social post today, and not a single thing about any of the government stuff that's gone on today. I'm just saying. Okay.
Well, clear evidence that something is up.
Yes, because nothing's happening. That's proof.
This is, it's still, I have to say, when it comes to Democrat voters and Republican voters, I thought the quantum dots was better. This is just not, they're trying to do lawfare where no lawfare exists. It's a little disappointing.
Quantum dots is pretty damn good.
It's good. It's good.
I mean, you had Steve Pachenik on Alex Jones' show with Alex laughing in his face.
After the fact, yes.
But no, it was before.
Yeah, well, I thought Alex was all in. Well, I mean,
it was after the election, yeah, but
Alex was convinced. Yeah.
The timing was awkward.
Yeah.
So let's go with that. Here's another guy, another dude.
Trump coming out and calling for a rally with his supporters January 19th, one day before the inauguration. Why would you need to do that the day before you are supposedly being inaugurated the 47th president? He wants those people here in town for when it becomes even more evident than it already is that under 14th Amendment Section 3, he cannot be sworn in. He's done. He knows it. He's known it for a while. Only thing is, they're ready for you this time, dude.
Dude. Oh, that's great. This is it. Well, do you have another one or?
Yeah, this is just a deluded woman that's just rambling about God knows what, but a similar kind of thing. And I might as well get rid of it.
I am shook, shaken, and stirred right now. I had to get out of bed.
Shook, shaken, and stirred.
Did y'all see Kamala Harris's end of the year / New Year post? Why was it? What? There has to be a reason it was that extra, because that was unnecessary. I feel like it's coded. It's coded. I don't know what it means, but it means something. She's not going anywhere. I think that's very clear from this video. She ain't going nowhere. Also, another reason why I think this video is important is that Biden is not featured at all. Not even one frame. I feel like that's strange. I feel like that's a little strange.
He's dead.
Remember, the things that she keeps repeating, we are not going to throw up our hands. We're going to roll up our sleeves. It's time to get to work.
Oh, goodness. So a lot of people emailed me about narcissism. These are clear examples of it. And Marxism.
Yeah.
How Marxism and narcissism go together. And it was actually Sir Bemrose who I thought had a good take, which I will recite. So this is, you know, I'm still forming this thesis, but people are in strong agreement and everyone has different ways of looking at it. The Marxist religion teaches people to look outside themselves for the source of their problems. All strife is rooted in power dynamics. Evil corporations, the wealthy, politicians, white people, cisgenders, ableists with all of their arms and legs working. Your problems can always be traced to everyone but you. In order to avoid cognitive dissonance, this requires an exceptional degree of othering to dehumanize other people and disregard their feelings and needs. This is not easy for people with a conscience. After all, it's much harder to dump all your problems on someone after you look at things from their point of view. On the other hand, this othering comes naturally to narcissists and sociopaths who, being incapable or unwilling to consider someone else's thoughts and feelings, will other people as a matter of reflex. Hence why narcissists and sociopaths are a natural fit for Marxism, as it reinforces their psychosis. After all, what could be better for a narcissist than being reaffirmed by a religion that makes everything about you, the victim mentality, and puts all of your problems on the other? I think that's pretty close.
Yeah, it's got some points there.
Or as
well, I think probably a well-versed socialist can break it down even better. There's definitely something to it.
Here's Robert. He did five bullet points. I'm a narcissist. I think I'm the best. Some people are clearly doing better than me. It's not my fault, though. It's the system. The system is capitalist. I'm a Marxist now. Well, I thought that was kind of good.
That's actually pretty close to it, because there is a lot of blaming capitalism mm-hmm. for your own personal problems. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's because socialism wouldn't make it, you know, again, it gives you free stuff, supposedly it should. And that's what you want.
And then
you deserve it.
The one that I wanted to ask you about, because you are much more a student of Marshall McLuhan than I am.
Yes, I've read all his material. I knew one of his relatives. I went through Cal using some McLuhan ideas to get some high grades in certain classes.
Let's try this out. In Chapter 4 of Understanding Media, McLuhan explains how technology acts as extensions of ourselves, often numbing us to its transformative effects. Using the myth of narcissists, he describes how we have become captivated by our technological reflections, unaware of their impact. McLuhan introduces auto amputation, which I think is a great word, as a survival mechanism, likening technology to idols that shape us in their image. Social media amplifies this effect, creating a global forum where our voices resonate endlessly. Technology, like Thor's hammer, grants us divine power, yet distracts us from its profound influence on society and human behavior. With the arrival of electric technology, McLuhan wrote, man extended or set outside himself a live model of the central nervous system itself. To the degree that this is so, it is a development that suggests a desperate and suicidal auto amputation, as if the central nervous system could no longer depend on the physical organs to be protective buffers against the slings and arrows of an outrageous mechanism. That's heady
stuff.
Couple
of things to note.
Yeah.
My version of that, of course, is the phone in the drawer.
Yes. That's why you're so sane and not a Marxist. Certified not a Marxist.
Is that all of McLuhan's theses were all done before the internet. He was, I think, died before the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It's all pre-internet ideas. And actually, in some regards, it's pre-personal computers.
Hmm.
So he was very... if you start reading him now and think about the internet and personal computers and the phone, of course, the smartphone,
mm-hmm.
smartphone, internet, personal computers, put those aside and then read him and think about those three items and you go, holy crap, this guy was nailing it.
In other words, he did a good job.
Auto
amputation is a kind of survival mechanism by which the body tries to cope with the technological change currently transforming the environment. But the form this attempt at survival takes is the construction of idols. There's many of them. In fact, any use of technology is likened by McLuhan to the beholding of idols. I think that's so true.
I see people worshiping the phone all day.
Yeah, that goes back to my rosary. The phone has rosary beads. This is not good.
Well, I think we've determined that some years back.
But there's also no way. I don't see any way out of it other than self-awareness. And some people have to get voted off the island.
Phone in the drawer. That's one way out. It helps.
Well, I have to say, my Cat S22 has done very well for me. It is so unattractive to use. It is such a pain in the butt. And I only use it for texting because everything else just sucks. It's slow.
You can't even make a phone call on it?
You know, I think I've received maybe 2 calls on this since I've had it.
Nobody calls anybody anymore.
You know why? Because you're constantly busy. You get a busy tone when they call you.
I'm different. They don't call each other.
I'd like to thank you for your courtesy in the morning to you, the man who put the C in call waiting. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
In the morning, you're saying, creating morning, ships, sea boots on the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, dames and knights out there.
In the morning to the trolls in the troll room. Hold on a second. You want to take a guess?
Today is Thursday, so it should be normally 18. I'd say 1950.
2183.
Yeah, that fires.
The fires. Yeah, that's right. Let me see what the boys have to say about the fires. I'm sure they have a take on it. Did you notice that the blue trash can did not burn? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's how it goes. Yeah, we're joking about it, but of course it's very sad.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's fire is, I just can't imagine having, I mean, just you lose all your stuff. I mean, think about a James Woods. What do you think he has in his house?
Oh, he had memorabilia that's priceless.
Billy Crystal. He was in that house since 1979.
Yeah, can you imagine the stuff he lost?
Oh, man, that is really, it makes you want to get a big fireproof safe. And just well, an also, empty home.
But that's not going to help in a firestorm. I had Michael Rogers, was a novelist that lived, I know, he used to be in the Bay Area. He used to live in the Oakland Hills when they had the Oakland Hills fire.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a fireproof safe. And they, but it was, since it was a firestorm, the temperatures increased beyond the capabilities of the fireproof safe. He had his manuscripts in the fireproof safe.
No, no.
Ashes.
Oh, no.
You have to digitize everything and put it, I hate to tell you this because it's pathetic. You have to get this stuff in the cloud or in, you know, or backed up someplace outside your own environment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty pathetic to suggest the cloud.
Please. I know, it's totally pathetic.
The cloud is
but
bad.
Yeah. You get a free terabyte from Microsoft.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And actually, with since Microsoft, I hate to plug this product, but Microsoft Office, that is, on, I think, $99 a year, gives you five accounts. You get yes. five people get to use it.
Yeah, yes,
and each one has a terabyte. That's 5 terabytes total. You could give them the word and you keep their terabytes.
Yeah.
And you could, that's a good backup.
Yeah. Or how about
5 terabytes a lot.
How about just making backups on disks and then sending them to your friends?
Like you could do that too. That works.
Like I send you from time to time a backup of our No Agenda 1 terabyte drive, which has everything on it.
Yep.
And it's a great idea. And it's not in the cloud, I will say. It's not in the cloud. I just send it to you.
Well, it's probably safe with the two locations.
And I always travel with 2 drives in 2 different bags. Because, I mean, as long as I have that hard drive, I can make a show. If I don't have the hard drive, it's going to be pretty bad. You know, I could make a show with a Palm Pilot. As long as I have that drive, I can do it. The trolls, who we just counted, of which there are many today, welcome trolls. They're listening in through trollroom.io. That's where they can also jump into the troll room itself and troll along. They've been actually quite calm today. Although someone did ask, how come I didn't say the Jews set the fire in California? That was always interesting.
Mostly, especially, you know, Pacific Palisades was actually a Jewish refugee community.
There it is. There it is.
And they wouldn't have set the fire.
Oh,
they would have done anything but said, yeah, I'm surprised that the fire even burned their places if you're going to go with that.
Yeah, of course, they may also be listening on a modern podcast app, which you can get at podcastapps.com, plural. There's many to choose from, and they have lots of handy whiz-bang features, including chapters with images that rotate, that's cool to watch. Dreb Scott puts that together for us. We've got transcripts, and I'd say the best feature is you get notified when we go live. You can listen to the live stream on your podcast app. Take that, Apple. I haven't seen that, or Spotify. I haven't seen that from you. And when we release the show, if you weren't able to listen live, you get notified within 90 seconds. It's a good deal. And most of these are free. Please support your software app developers with a little donation. And Void Zero just texted me and said, if you guys are serious about this, let me run a backup for you. That's probably a good idea. Void Zero has good practices.
Yes. Yes, he does.
I think that would be the right guy to do. Don't ask him to upgrade stuff on show day.
No. He sent me a nice card. I want to thank him for that.
Yeah, with a pen. Did you get the pen?
A Void Zero pen.
A Void Zero pen. Yes, it was very cool. I also from...
Can't have enough pens the way I see
pens are always good. Zach Metzinger sent me not one but 2 luggage scales. Thank you very much, Zach. Appreciate that. 1 for Tina, 1 for me. And
what do you need to... What, maybe that 1 should have gone to me.
Well, I'll send it to you.
No, it's okay.
When would you need a luggage scale? Please, when's the last time you got on an airplane?
I'm trying to avoid it.
I'm doing a pretty damn good job.
It's like the phone in the drawer.
When is the last time you got on an airplane? It's been years.
Yeah, years. Because of COVID.
So, you're afraid to travel? Don't you have a mask if you want to travel? Maybe because of COVID.
It's because of COVID.
I don't understand. Yeah.
No, ever since COVID, it got me out of the habit of traveling so much. And I realized that I enjoy not traveling.
It's enjoyable.
I don't know about you, but.
See, believe me, Tina's like, let's go somewhere. I'm like, really?
Well, at least she's not demanding you go horseback riding.
No. I don't know where you came up with that one, but no, luckily, no. There's no horseback riding. Or skiing. I don't do that anymore either. The trolls, yeah, did the troll. Oh, yes, of course, value for value. Well, so that is an excellent example of value for value. I appreciate that, Zach. You made me feel valuable that you sent that to me, and I'm sure you did it because you value what we do here on the show. And you can do many different things for the show. Help out in many ways. We always appreciate the artists who go to noagendaartgenerator.com during the show, during the live stream, sometimes a little late, but just doesn't quite make it. But these pieces of art get used in many different scenarios, including the chapters, the newsletter, bat signals. It's beautiful to have. And it's always something people go, hey, wait a minute. You know, it's like we had for the bat signal this morning. It was done by Comic Strip Blogger. He had a No Agenda square image of the Hollywood sign burning. You know, it's like that's topical, and that makes people want to listen. So it's good. It's handy. And we always like to thank our artists. For 1727, the artwork was Francisco Scaramanga, and we didn't have much discussion about this. He had the cheesecake, cheesecakey, semi-cheesecake.
It's actually meta cheesecake.
Yes, multi-city pom-pom tour, multi-coordinated by Curry and Dvorak. That, of course, was in regard to our conversation about Sarah Adams, and you said she could not even be a pom-pom girl. And and he took it to heart. And it, of course,
it created an opportunity for the No Agenda shop.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
That would be a great t-shirt.
That's a great t-shirt for the No Agenda shop, noagendashop.com. So let's take a look and see, because there was definitely a lot of AI.
Well, I like the solid one that was below it, but you hated it. And I don't think you could actually see it.
No, it wasn't that I hated it. I could not see it. I just couldn't.
We have to remember that Adam has color blindness.
Yes. And if I can't see it, what good is it? If we're not entertaining ourselves, why bother?
Well, you have accepted certain. Sometimes I've overridden your color blindness on certain art.
But you didn't press it. You didn't press it on this one. That was
no, because of the pom-pom tour one. I mean, I'm going with that one too. It's a beauty.
And I didn't push back at all. Let me see. What else? There was Darren did a Superman getting a vax. I'm not quite sure. So Peter Knopfhart did Quaddemic, a bunch of
spike, we should mention the newer artists that have come on board. The spike protein is art is
non-starter. Oh, man. For the Quaddemic, they are now showing four pictures of spike protein balls, all different colors. So somehow norovirus is now also a ball with spikes.
Yeah, it seems unlikely.
I would say so. What else was there? Was there anything else we discussed?
We quickly focused on.
Yeah, I think you're right. Some government cheese stuff. No, that was in the previous one. So congratulations, Scaramanga. Thank you. Scaramanga, always he gets all jitty when he gets chosen.
Yeah, I'm surprised because I know he really
he hates the show.
I think he hates the show and he hates the two of us.
Oh,
I
don't know, you in particular. I don't personally get it.
me in particular.
Yeah, you in particular. And then the minute we choose him for art, then he's posting all over X like, this is the best podcast in the universe. You should listen to this. There's no reason you should listen to anything else. So it's kind of it has a double function choosing him. We get fun, good art, And promotion.
Promotion.
Promotion. So that's the talent of the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We always want to thank our executive and associate executive producers in this portion of the show. We thank everybody who sends in $50 or more, and we'll give you the name and your location and the amount. And for the associate executive producers, that's $200 and above, we will give you that title, which is a forever title. You can use it anywhere titles are recognized and accepted, particularly the show business variety. And that would be imdb.com would be one of the main places for that. You can use it on your LinkedIn, any other social media profile. And we read your note. And then $300 or above, you're an executive producer. Same rules apply for that title, forever credit. And we read your note and we kick it off with M, plain old M from North Tonawanda, New York, with $400. That's not a very common amount.
No, it's odd.
And it says, me guys. Keep up the good work. That is a good note, and thank you very much.
Actually, the note is in the PDF. It's actually hi guys.
Oh, it says me guys here. Oh.
I know. I mean, I'm looking at it. It looks like an M.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize.
But I can also see what he's saying. It's hi guys.
Let me see. Where is this?
Keep
note?
Up the good work. It's the one at the very bottom.
From the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Yeah, he's using the free stationery St. Jude sends everyone.
Yeah. All right, good. You're right. It says, hi, guys. Keep up the good work. M. Thank you very much, M. Appreciate that.
And go back to the spreadsheet here. You got next is Sir Tyler in Anchorage, Alaska. Another note from Sir Tyler in Alaska from Tyler at Tyler Systems. Tyler at TylerSystems.com. Thanks. Did not receive note, it says on here. It came in with $343.75. And I don't have a Tyler note.
I don't have one either. So this is not the first time his note has gone AWOL.
No, but Tyler at TylerSystems.com.
Value for value AI stuff, is it not?
He's the AI guy. Mm-hmm. So get a hold of him.
Yeah, TylerSystems.com.
We'll read his note the next time.
DoxNet, D-O-X-X, Nets, Truckee, California, $343.75. Hashtag stealth donation via Liptonite. What is Liptonite?
I have no idea.
Maybe Liptonite did the donation on behalf of DoxNet. Please credit to DoxNet. Okay, done. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you can read the next one too because it blows up my spreadsheet.
Quirano Martin in Erica, the Netherlands. I'm not familiar with this place, but it's blue. That means we have something going on here. ITM gents, after being in hiding in douchebaggistan for some time, it's here. Finally, knight status. I would like to be known as Celtic Knight of the Flatter Lands, like the Netherlands, but flat like everything is. And for the round table, I would like to add Kashambalan, which is a bitterball with cheese and sambal. Is sambal the same in English? Sambal?
I don't know no.
Indonesian spice. It comes in a very small little bottle, and you open it up and it's red, and it's kind of like hot chili type stuff, but if you had Indonesian rice toffee, you probably had it and just didn't know it. By the way,
okay.
On Dutch food, stroopwafel is now an official word in the Oxford English Dictionary.
That little waffle, the candy thing?
Well, it's not supposed to be little. It's supposed to be big enough.
It's big. It's a fist-sized.
Yeah, it's supposed to fit on top of your cup of tea so it can soften up. Yes.
I didn't know anything about that.
Okay. So you can get these little stroopwafels, or as people in America would say, stroopwafels. No, stroopwafels. And they're the little itty-bitty ones. That's no good. Reject those. You want a nice big size, which is about the size, a little bit smaller than a CD.
And yeah, it's about 5 inches.
Yeah, so the size of a CD. And you can do with coffee, but typically you have your cup of tea and you place it on top of your cup of tea to let it soften up and get all nice and gooey. That is the official way of eating a stroopwafel.
Well, this is news to me.
Well, now you're informed.
They don't put any instructions on the package.
I know, it's an outrage. I continue with Quirano's note. I want to greet my Celtic brothers and sisters of the Nieuwe Celtische Orde and all the Gemaantjes who are douchebags, except for one, Hendrik. He's also a producer. And for the Dutchies, check out NetNeet Live, NetNeet Live, which means not quite live, on YouTube. Once a month, the Celts, Mickey and Yost, review the news and do it live with a chat, like the Troll Room. Episode 252 is coming up, always, the last Saturday of the month. They've also been around for a while, only on audio for a long time until YouTube came along. Maybe some karma would be nice for sure. China is asshole and due to climate change. Okay, we've got both of those for you. Greetings, Quirano Martin Ut Erika, Celtic Knight of the Flatterlands.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
Due to climate change, you've got karma.
All right, you will be knighted later. Thank you for the
Turbo and Massey.
By the way, he donated. Did I say 343.75? Yeah, I think I did. Okay, yes. Turbo.
Turbo and Massey, Michigan, 333.33. They call me Turbo in the morning, John and Adam, and higher-minded thinking into 2025. You guys have absolutely been cracking me up these past couple episodes. My wife and I were making soup.
Some details not needed in your donation note, but okay.
Listening to episode 1726 and right at 104.04, either you or John ripped a huge fart.
No, this is not true.
For one thing, these mics that both of us use are highly directional, and it seems unlikely you're going to pick up that. But we're not farting while we're sitting here anyway.
Well,
a huge fart.
You have
let me finish this note. Yeah, okay. A huge fart. And my wife and I looked at each other like, was that you? Oh, one of those two did it. When I looked at the oven, it read 333 on the dot. God whispers and farts quietly, and I knew it was time to donate again. It has been a year since I first donated to the show and sent you and John a spark plug keychain. Yeah, I still have it.
I never got the spark plug keychain. It sounds cool.
That he was smelling, and I was smelling the spark plug. Yeah, I mentioned it. Mm-hmm. I'm donating 333, and I'm starting. By the way, you want to send something to Adam, ask him for his address, and he'll give it to you.
Yes, I will. Gladly.
I'm not a remailing service here.
Oh,
California, say the least. You get stuff eventually, but come on. I'm starting my recurring donation based on diesel, electric, heavy equipment, hydraulic services, Turbo's truck and trailer repair. Mm-hmm. I don't sell you on a dream. I clearly diagnose and inform you on what you need. I'm offering to anyone who mentions ITM will get a discount of 33%. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
33% off my services, and we'll be donating it directly to the show.
No, oh, excellent.
Email me at tttpayable@outlook.com. Tttpayable.
Nice.
@outlook.com. Okay. We'll go with that. We'll push that.
All right. Now I have the episode 1776 at 103.50. Let's listen.
Well, that digital euro is coming. I believe that. I fully believe that. Yeah,
they're going to try. Everyone wants to do these things.
Fully believe that's happening. Fully believe it. Of course, we have our own fun here in the United States. We've been tracking this for over a decade on the show.
Let's start with some of these new
No fart heard here.
No, I didn't hear anything. One of those two did it.
It's his wife. You know,
they pointed the finger at each other.
That's right. It's his wife. I guarantee you his wife did it. Women do that. Oh, no, it's John and Adam. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. John Kelber, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 333-33. Blue, that means something's happening here. ITM gentlemen, it's been a long journey from believing the official messages of the M5M to questioning everything, no matter how foundational. Since hearing Adam on the Higher Side chats with host Greg Carlwood, who I believe is a knight already, No Agenda has been an important part of my pod journey. Oh, that's a knife to the heart. Now I have a human resource on the way who I'm excited to bring along for the ride. They're going to love hearing about aliens and the black cube and the true shape of the earth. Hint, it's a hot dog. And of course, your media deconstruction. If available, please knight me Sir Ten of Nothing. Could you order Lakefront East Side Dark Lager and cheese curds for the round table?
Why, yes, of course. Lastly, I'd like to hear the Starman Flat Earth jingle that I heard on dingit.io. Well, you betcha, John Kelber, and we'll see you at the roundtable.
There's a Starman running through the sky. He'd tell us that the Earth's flat, but he thinks he'll blow our minds. There's a Starman running through the sky. He says he sees a flat plane. He knows it's just a lie. He's hovering. Yes, we live on a disc. From Kepler's full of shit. Copernicus a wanker.
I think that's Sir Chris. Sir Chris Wilson.
Yeah, it sounds more like him than that other clip, because in this case, he did his normal off-key singing, which is what he does.
Which is what he does.
And I'm always stunned when he doesn't do that.
Yes.
Anonymous, meanwhile, in Marinette, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
333.33. That intelligence analyst guy was hilarious. He clearly wanted to sound mysterious with his terminology, so he just sounds like a fool. Reminds me of a new troop talking to his family at Christmas, fresh out of Intel school.
Yeah.
This anonymous guy is telling us something about his business.
Yep.
You know.
Dame Girl Kyle and Sir Jackie Green. I didn't know that they were an item. Were you aware of this?
I was unaware of this, but now I'm aware of it.
333.33 with a handwritten note. Oh, actually, it's, I guess there's a, it looks like they have kids together. Either that or yes. It's them as kids. It could
and be. On the other side, unfortunately, I don't think that Jay sent a copy, but there's a picture of them and the kids and the whole thing. It's a really very, very sweet.
Well, Happy New Year, John and Adam, 333.33. Thank you for your courage in 2024. Wishing you and your family and all of Noah and the Nation lots of love, health, and happiness in 2025. Dame Girl Kyle, not Kylie, and Sir Jackie Green. Beautiful. Thank you both.
I
looked it up.
Oh, good. Well, how do you pronounce his last name?
Eris Kogue.
That's what I've always been saying, Eris Kogue.
No, not Eris. Eris Kogue.
Eris Kogue.
Yeah.
I think I've been pricing Air. Oh, yeah. Well, okay, Eris Kogue.
Well, listen, I got the pronunciation thingy. Here we go.
Eris Kogue.
Eris Kogue. Eris
Kogue. Eris Kogue.
Eris Kogue.
Eris Kogue. Eris Kogue.
Okay, well, Eris Cog wrote in a note, and he says, since 333.33, and he writes in a nasty note saying, I'll try to do the voice that he has normally. Since you got my sons wrong all the time. I have no idea what that means.
I think son's name, I think, is what he means.
He doesn't say that. It says sons.
Well, he got something wrong, then serves him right.
And then he has the link to the how to pronounce it. And he says he's been listening with guilt.
Uh-oh.
So I guess the sons are donating and he's not. That's the only thing I can imagine.
Mm.
Regards, Ken.
Well, thank you very much, Ken. Mike checks in from Pennsylvania, 331. And this donation, he says, is in loving memory of my dear mother, Carol Ann. You'll never know how much I love you. You know what? I guarantee you, Mike, she does. Could I please have some health karma for my father-in-law, Steve? John and Adam, thank you for all you do and for always being there for us. Sincerely, Mike. You bet, Mike. Absolutely.
You've got karma.
I think what he means is that we do shows during the periods of time when most people take the days off.
No, I think he means that we are there when everyone's all spun up and all psyched out about stuff, and we're always there to catch them as they're falling.
Could be. But meanwhile, Annie Williams, or Ann, could be Ann, probably Ann.
Pretty sure
Ann Williams in Pagewood, in Pagewood, New South Wales, it says. But it says U.S., so I don't know, NSW. So she lives in NSW somewhere.
Yes, you'd think.
And she came with 222.22, and no note, no nothing. It came in through Stripe, and so she gets a double up karma.
She sure does.
You've got karma.
And she is our first associate executive producer. Our second is C. Steele from Urbandale, Iowa, 210.60. And C. Steele says, thank you for creating this show. So I thought it was created by Dana Brunetti.
No, he only did Dana Brunetti. Let's get it straight. He did came up with tip of the day.
Yeah, I know.
And then he grouses a lot.
Yeah, because he can't get you on the phone. He's calling you like a teenage girl.
Wow, callback. You're getting pretty good at that.
I can't get John on the phone. His line is busy. Like a teenage girl. I was introduced to the show, says C. Steele, a few years ago, and I do believe your ability to relay all information in a fun manner is what makes this show so great. Adam, like you, I am also a follower of Christ and have been working to walk as close to Christ as I possibly can. In 2018, my oldest daughter was diagnosed with a very rare heart condition called pulmonary vein stenosis. It was a life-changing moment for my entire family. Instead of blaming God and being angry, we have given our lives to Christ and place it all in His hands. God is great through all things. I encourage everyone to seek God, especially if you are struggling to get through something difficult, like a fire in Los Angeles. We have seen miracles happen with our own daughter, and we know He isn't finished yet. I donate today to bring awareness for this devastating condition and to share my family's story of faith working through dark times. Anyone interested can find our story by searching Viola Marie's Heart Journey, on GoFundMe. Her journey is far from over, but God's grace will see us through it. Side note, we use GoFundMe as the way to share the story because that's where my lovely wife first started tracking everything. Thank you again, C. Steele. Well, thank you. God bless you, brother.
And now we go to the Eli the Coffee guy. Is that right?
Am That's right? right. Eli is up next. You're right.
Yeah, he's in Bensonville, Illinois, 201. I'm starting to use his. He has some of his blends instead of just a single.
I want to thank Eli once again for sending coffee. We received a package for him, and he always includes decaffeinated for Tina, which she highly appreciates.
She can't drink caffeinated coffee?
Not anymore.
Why?
A thyroid thing.
Ah, well, who needs that? Okay. Well, anyway, Eli came in with 201.09. In 2025, he rises promises starting to get interesting. Taiwanese internet cables cut by China. The media completely ignoring the story about American and Ukrainian mercenaries being captured in Venezuela for plotting attacks to destabilize the country's leadership, and bird flu and raw milk. With today's chaos, it's always good to have a preparedness plan, and that preparedness plan should include coffee. That's why you should visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com. Use code ITM to stock up today. Just kidding. No need to panic. But having extra coffee never hurts. Stay caffeinated, Eli, the coffee guy.
This is true. I mean, in an emergency, we want coffee. That's for sure. And then we have another Dutchie checking in from Amersfoort, the Netherlands, $200. Jeroen Brewers. And he says, lekker bezig, geitenbreiers. Which I will translate. You're doing a good job, you goat knitters.
Is that a phrase?
Yeah, geitenbreiers. Yes. Is someone who knits out of goat.
To make like a goat sweater, for example.
Yes, I didn't know goats had that much knittable stuff on them, but
well, some goats are like, isn't the merino wool goat?
I don't know. Is it?
There is one goat. Somebody in the chat room knows what this is. There's a goat that's used. This fleece is used to make fabric. I don't know if it's the merino or not. I mean, I could be wrong about that.
Let me see.
Here's a good. So goat knit. Yeah, it would make sense.
Let me see. I actually don't really know where that comes from. The geitenbreiers Dutchism. Someone needs to explain. I mean, basically, if you're a geitenbreier, you're kind of like a doofus.
Doofus.
Yeah. You're a doofus. Yeah, that's what a geitenbreiers. So, but it can be a term of endearment if you say it the way he did.
It's an Angora goat. Maybe I'm thinking Angora.
Angora goat. You were correct. You are correct. Yeah, Angora.
That's a goat.
That's cashmere. So we're high end goats. We're high end. So we're high end.
Oh, there he is. That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, well, then it takes us to Linda Lupatkin. I get Linda today. She's in Lakewood, Colorado, for anyone who wants to track her down. She is asking for jobs, Karma, and she wants to say, for a resume that gets results, visit imagemakersinc.com for your go-to for all your executive resume and job search needs. That's Image Makers Inc. with a K. Work with Linda Liu, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Karma.
And then our final associate executive producer is Paul from Knoxville, Tennessee. And what did Paul come in with? Paul came in with 200. And he has a blue note. That's good. In the morning, John Adam enclosed $200 donation, which, according to my flawless accounting, finally brings me to knight status. I would like to be given the title as Sir Super Apple of the Tennessee Hills. I also request that the round table be replete with high-quality tequila and tacos of any meat-laden variety. You got it. I would also like to take this moment to thank you all for what you do, exposing the mainstream media for what it is, an overflowing port-a-john at an Indian food festival. Nice visual. And to John. To John? Oh,
I think he's got it mixed up.
No, I like it better this way. And to John, I've enjoyed hearing about your faith journey, and I hope that it continues to be fruitful and as a positive influence on No Agenda Nation. What are you doing when I'm not talking to you, John? Especially those who may be
Catholics
on
Catholics don't have faith journeys, so you got to make sure the charismatics and
faith. Catholics don't have faith journeys?
Not what? Really.
They just pop out of the womb like
not
that?
Not of the same sort, not of that variety.
Of the charismatics. Careful now. I'm going to start speaking in tongues, especially those who may be on their own road to Christianity. Well, I certainly hope so. Lastly, I would like to request some jobs, Karma, and a few of my favorites. Okay, little girl, yay. I'd like a Sharpton montage. I got a little Sharpton for you. And a noodle gun. Well, you really are asking for a lot, but we can do it for you, and we will see you at the round table. He concludes by saying, may 2025 be a year of blessings for you and your families, as well as for all of No Agenda Nation.
Yay!
Thanks. Good evening, to you, Ed. Is this Groundhog Day 2? We are watching that was Attorney General Eric Holder ABDs about some Republicans at home are already beating the drums of war. Today, the Pentagon refuted that claim. And he said the American people do not want him to, quote, dwindling, they do not want him dwindling his thumb.
I'm gonna shoot you in the face with my noodle gun, you racist piece of shit. I got my pasta Glock locked and loaded.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yes, I am reliably informed Catholics have pilgrimage. Pilgrimages. You don't have journeys. You do pilgrimages.
Sharpton's still working for MSNBC after taking that $500,000 bribe from Kamala to do a softball interview with her?
That's a good question, because I did notice, so you have an article here. Let me see. Let's see who has left mainstream. Hoda is leaving the Today Show. Did you know that? Did you know she's leaving?
Oh, yeah. She talks about it on the other. Yeah.
Nora O'Donnell, you were right. Leaving CBS Evening News.
Took forever.
Well, she'll be doing it. She's taking on a special correspondent role.
Oh, yeah. That's what you do. That's how they ease you out.
Fired. Jeff Glore. He was kicked out in September.
I thought Jeff Glore always did good work, and it's really weird to me that he lost his job.
Of course, Chris Wallace bid farewell to CNN. Of course, he's going to be the next Joe Rogan. He's going to be doing a podcast.
Chris Wallace?
Yes, he left. Yeah, he's doing podcasts. Oh,
I thought he left a while ago. Okay.
Well, this is...
Podcast Chris Wallace?
Mm-hmm.
There's no Joe Rogan in Chris Wallace.
The Wallace pod. Allison Camerota. Neil Cavuto.
Cavuto's been ill.
He's been ill? I didn't know
that. Yeah, he's been ill. Oh. Yeah, he's dying, basically.
Really? What does he have? That's horrible.
He's got some sort of horrible condition.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know who I still miss, our guy? Who was our guy? Charles? Krauthammer?
Well, he's dead.
I know. Hello. Yes, he's dead, but I miss him. He was a great and the other guy, our Russia guy, I miss him too.
Oh, the Russia guy, I kind of miss him.
What was his name?
Yeah, Stephen, was it Cohen or?
Yeah, Stephen Cohen. I think you're right. Yeah. Anyway, as long as we don't have to miss each other, as long as we're still here, it's all good. And with that, we want to thank our executive and associate executive producers of episode 1728. Thank you for making it a reality. And of course, we look forward to thanking everybody who came in over $50 in our second segment. Once again, those credits are for a lifetime, y'all. Become a producer today.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Misfire.
Donald Trump, don't trust China. China is asshole.
That's what was supposed to be in there. Misfire.
I have a clip that I'd like to play.
Okay.
Because I don't know what it is.
No, that's always fun. This is like a potluck.
It's total potluck. This is the OSP good news clip.
The good news is that there is no more bad news. Goodbye.
Ah. That was probably meant to be an ISO, but you missed
it. ISO, that's what it was.
OSP. It's just like ISO.
ISO.
The I is next to the O.
It was touch and typing doesn't work.
Literally, yeah. I, O, and P are all together on the keyboard. Wow.
And that makes sense. And yeah. I was looking at my ISOs. I thought I had three ISOs.
That's really bad.
There it is.
That's really bad. Hey, we need to do a little update because, as you know, the quaddemic is upon us. We've got everything going.
The quaddemic is a growing concern in much of the country. Here in Southern California, the mask mandate at most hospitals never went away after the pandemic, but more mandates are returning due to a surge in respiratory illnesses. Medical experts had predicted it due to the holiday season, with millions of Americans mixing and mingling at airports and family gatherings. And now further spread is expected as millions head back to work and school. Hospitalizations are up sharply in major cities, including Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago. Health officials are advising the immunocompromised to mask in public to prevent illness. In Wisconsin, a major healthcare group is reinstating a mask mandate beginning next week. The quaddemic means the threat of flu, COVID, RSV, and neurovirus, which is commonly known as stomach flu. That's been rampant in many communities, and for most, stomach flu means a very unpleasant 48 hours.
Did she say neuro? Let me hear.
Mask mandate beginning next week. The quaddemic means the threat of flu, COVID, RSV, and neurovirus.
What a dope.
It's noro.
Yeah. Commonly known as
neuro.
That's good. Of course.
Well, they haven't slipped that other one, and they don't know what to do.
Which one?
That one that knew it. Phony baloney pneumonia.
HMPV. That one.
Yeah, that one.
But I will tell you, there are young people who are in the hospital with severe pneumonia.
It's probably from that.
From HMPV. It could be. Could be. It's not good. It's not good. What do I have here?
I have a funny virus.
I got a bird flu. We got to do bird flu because you know we've had the first death from the bird flu.
There's some growing concerns over bird flu this morning. Health officials in Louisiana now reporting the first known human death from that virus here in the United States. Let's bring in NBC News medical contributor, Dr. John Turris, found a little
What's
bit more
the
about
point?
This. Dr. John, let's talk about this specific case down in Louisiana. What more do we know about
and
that?
And that's a concerning thing. It's the first human death here in the United States from bird flu. He was over the age of 65, had other underlying medical conditions, which is one of those things that we look at when we look at other conditions as well. And on top of that, he had severe respiratory illness, had been in the hospital since December, and unfortunately he passed away at this point.
About the trajectory. I mean, this is something that officials are watching very closely, but we haven't crossed that threshold of
human to human.
Well, it's multiple stages. You see, it's a trajectory. We haven't quite, unfortunately, we still don't have human to human. We really want it. What are the steps? How do we get there, doctor?
Mm-hmm. Contagion.
Exactly. Correct. And there's four stages, basically, if you think about it. There's bird to bird, which is stage one.
Bird
stage
to bird.
Two is bird to other animals, dairy cows, for example. Stage three is animals to humans. And that's where we are right now in those 66 cases here in the United States.
We're excited.
And cases worldwide as well. And the one we get concerned with is when it starts going animal to human. That's stage four. I mean, sorry, human to human. No. Stage four. We haven't gotten to that stage yet.
Not yet.
And that's the stage you're keeping a close eye. Although there were mutations in this patient here they found that could make it more susceptible to doing that human to human transmission, but we haven't seen that yet.
We have mutations. We have mutations. Now, what is always the follow-up question to these reports?
Well, it should be, will a vax help?
No.
Or there's any, is there any vax on the horizon?
No. That's not the follow-up. The follow-up question is always, should we be concerned? Should we be afraid? Should we be worried?
Well, I thought that wasn't even a question. It's something that's assumed. We should be frightened. We should be scared out of our wits.
So if people are watching this and thinking, oh, I'm a little afraid of that. Or should they be? And number two, like, what are the symptoms for bird flu?
And right now, the risk is low, according to the CDC, the World Health Organization, all the experts. And so it is low, but you do want to be concerned. This person in Louisiana got it from backyard poultry wild birds that he came in contact with. So you want to be careful. Anytime you're around dead animals, do not handle them. If they're sick, do not handle them. Let somebody who knows what they're doing. Make sure you have safe food practices, eggs, meat, those types of things. Don't drink unpasteurized dairy products. I know there's some people that are very big fans of that, but don't do that because of bird flu. And then make sure you get your flu shot because if you get a combination of human flu and bird flu at the same time, that makes it more likely it could mutate into that human-to-human transmission. Don't want that to happen.
Really? What kind of science is this? If you get human flu and bird flu, that could mutate in your body, and then you become typhoid Mary. And these people, it's just wasting airtime, valuable airtime on nonsense. But wait, what does bird flu cause? What do you get with bird flu? You get notenoughEggs.com.
This morning, shoppers are scrambling to find store shelves stocked with eggs. Rising cases of the bird flu are forcing egg suppliers to cut production, causing shortages nationwide and skyrocketing prices. Government data shows egg prices are up nearly 38% in the past year, prices spiking 8% just in November ahead of the high-demand holiday baking season. On average, a dozen eggs will cost you $3.65 now compared to $2.14 one year ago, with prices cheapest in the South averaging $3.40 and most expensive on the West Coast at $4.20. For retailers buying eggs wholesale in California, a carton is nearly $9.
What now? We get cartons of 18. What do eggs cost with you in California there?
It depends on where you get them. If you go to Costco and you want the high end eggs, or they get the regular eggs, or you want crappy eggs.
No, we want good eggs. We want good eggs.
A good egg's $8 a carton for 12.
Oh, we have $8 for 18. It's expensive.
Okay, you get six extra eggs.
That's right.
And well, it's typical. We get ripped off out here for some reason, even though we're the agricultural state, California.
Yeah.
We got birds and chickens. We got the Petaluma chickens. We grow everything, but for some reason, everything costs more here because of regulations. I get my eggs. What I pay for the highest quality eggs is nothing. Jay has a bunch of chickens.
Right.
They can't keep up with eating these eggs. They have to give them away, so I get like a half a dozen eggs for free every week.
Wait a minute. She has too many eggs? Have you considered giving her the gift of TooManyEggs.com?
The book?
It's a great book if she has
she
too many eggs.
She does have too many eggs.
That's right. Yeah, and she has to be careful. They are backyard flock, so if one dies, do not pet it.
You know, the thing is, talking about plugs, I have to do this. Horowitz says to me, you know, our numbers are down. Can you plug DH Unplugged? Because we're always plugging the No Agenda show, as you know.
That's right. That's true.
Every single DH Unplugged show has a plug for No Agenda. So DH Unplugged, which is a stock market show, which we have great tips, even though they're illegal. They're not meant to be tips, but they are.
What do you mean they're illegal? You're just
you can't go off telling people what stocks to buy.
You never say that.
Yeah, there's a disclaimer at the very end. You actually did one of them. We don't use yours, but we use that.
No, mine is on the Disciplined Investor podcast, which is another great podcast that Horowitz does.
Yeah, well, he uses another disclaimer on this podcast.
Yeah, and then you have...
Yeah, his Disciplined Investor podcast has been around.
It's a great
show.
As
long as podcasting has existed, he's been doing that.
He has been around for a long time. It's a very good show. It's very entertaining. It's John in a very different mode. You're very different. You're very different on that show. You realize
I'm not funny? Is that what you're telling
me? No. I didn't say like you're funny on this show? Please. Come on. I had a thought about Surgeon General report. DHUnplug.com, everybody. DHUnplug.com.
DHUnplug. Well, before you do that, let's play the Vax clip.
Oh, you got a Vax clip?
Yeah, this is Vax efficacy. This is a bull crap clip. This is part of the, in fact, the clips you played also about the prices of eggs is trying to down. I think this whole egg shortage thing is just another attempt to downplay the fact that all these prices increased under the Biden administration. They're looking for any reason to.
Yeah, but Costco literally is out of eggs. In San Antonio, no eggs. They got no eggs.
I went to the Costco the other day and they had eggs, but they didn't have the good eggs.
Well, Tina couldn't find any eggs at Costco.
Well, Costco's got to get it together.
The COVID and flu vaccine lasts for months, while others, like the measles vaccine, offer protection for life. Why?
What is this? Why is everybody doing that? Why? I'm serious. This is...
I don't know. Horowitz does it too, I might add.
It's a plague.
This is the why plague.
This is something new. This is something new where people are just, they just, why? And they answer their own question. In fact, I think what people should do now is say, here, listen to this guy here.
The COVID and flu vaccine lasts for months, while others, like the measles vaccine, offer protection for life.
Why? And then you should follow it up by saying, that's a great question. I want people to start. Why? That's a great question.
That would actually fit in with the model. You could do that. Why? Because it's a great question.
It's a great question.
Measles vaccine offer protection for life. Why? NPR's Emily Kwong reports on a new discovery that sheds light on vaccine durability.
Vaccines are powerful because they train your immune system for viral battle. That includes encouraging the creation of antibodies, which act like security guards to recognize and fight germs. Now, scientists at Stanford Medicine have found an ally in that fight, megakaryocytes. Found in bone marrow, more active megakaryocytes appear to create a more nurturing environment for those antibodies. So, vaccines which activate megakaryocytes may confer longer immunity. Bali Palendran was lead author on the paper in Nature Immunology, and he says the discovery is important because...
It's not a question of if the next pandemic will emerge. It's the question of when the next pandemic is going to emerge.
And Palendran wants this basic research to lead to better, longer-lasting vaccines. For NPR News, I'm Emily Kwong.
This also doesn't make sense. They say that the measles vaccine lasts a lifetime. That's not true. They're always telling people to get a top-up.
Well, you mean a booster? Top? Nobody calls it a top-up.
I do. I call it a top-up. I like that.
But here's what I have to ask. So this research comes out, and it's like, well, why? In other words, it starts with the premise, why don't these vaccines work?
Yeah.
You get the shot, and 3 months later, you need a booster.
Yeah, because they're not vaccines. Yeah,
so they come up with this cockamamie bullcrap. I think is bullcrap because when was the first vaccine? What do you remember? Can you come close to the date of the original vaccine? What year it was?
This was...
Don't look it up.
No, I'm not looking it up. I want to say it was like 1790 or something.
1796.
Woo! No, I did not look it up. Don't accuse me.
Well, you nailed it. 1796. Yes. First. Woo! So.
Woo!
So in 1796 till today, this little tidbit of information has been undiscovered. Bull crap.
All of a sudden, we got something new. Well, that's like, so the Surgeon General warned us that any alcohol use will cause cancer. Any. There's no such thing as moderation. Any. Yeah. You know what I think is going to happen? Two things. One, a report is going to drop coming up soon. Massive skyrocketing cancer.
Yeah. There's a lot of evidence that that could happen.
Two, the cure. What is the cure?
Abstinence.
What helps you abstain?
Ozempic.
That's correct. Put it in the red book.
You already put it in there, I think.
Well, but I'm connecting these two for the first time. They're going to come out.
It's all connected. They do a pretty good job of trying to, the number of people in the State Department and at CIA and elsewhere, the number of public relations specialists in these organizations is in the thousands.
Yeah.
And they put them together and they write books for people. They sit down, they strategize.
Yeah.
They do all the stuff that PR people normally do, only they have so many of them, they can come up with these grand schemes. And that's obviously already been strategized. All you're doing is just stating the obvious.
Well, we know one thing for sure. Vaccines do not cause autism.
On the medical watch, a gene discovery that could help people with autism and epilepsy. University of California Riverside scientists identified a gene which regulates circuits that play a role in critical brain activity. The gene Neuropilin 2 helps develop and maintain synaptic connections. When it goes awry, patients experience behavioral changes associated with autism spectrum disorder and epilepsy. In a study published in the journal Nature Molecular Psychiatry, doctors say this discovery points them toward developing treatments to alleviate symptoms of both conditions, which can often occur together. Previous research has identified the role of Neuropilin 2, but until now, researchers were not able to determine how and why it altered behavior.
I smell more mRNA coming.
Yeah.
mRNA. Some gene-altering stuff is going to save your children. And then something that we've been talking about since the beginning of this show, ever since I read in the book Legacy of Ashes and Uncle Don confirmed it, that the CIA or covert operations would put fluoride into an enemy's camp water supply to make them docile and compliant. We've talked about fluoride in our water being an undesirable product. But of course, we know that this is initially from Alcoa. It's a byproduct from aluminum production. And they needed to do something with it. Might as well just put it in the water so those slaves can be stupid.
Yeah, that's where they dilute it.
And there's new research.
Tonight, growing questions about whether fluoride in drinking water is doing more harm than good.
No way.
A report published today in JAMA Pediatrics concludes there is a statistically significant association between higher fluoride exposure and lower IQ scores in children. The study, funded by the National Institutes of Health, analyzed existing research conducted outside the United States. The lead author telling NBC News there is concern that pregnant women and children are getting fluoride from many sources, including drinking water, and that their total fluoride exposure is too high. The research is being criticized by many in the public health community. 52 of the 74 studies it looked at are rated low quality, according to the authors themselves. The conclusions based on fluoride levels more than double what's recommended for drinking water in the U.S.
The ongoing benefits of community water fluoridation at this time strongly outweigh the flawed analyses that are presented in this paper that's just being published.
Mr. Roboto.
So your kids, good news, your kids will have healthy, strong teeth, but they'll be retarded. Yay! Good news, everybody.
Superior fluoride toothpaste.
Fluoride has been added to U.S. drinking water since the 40s. More than 70% of Americans get it in their taps. The CDC, American Dental Association, and American Academy of Pediatrics support fluoridating water, citing studies it reduces tooth decay by 25%.
Cavities can obviously cause pain and suffering. People can get very bad infections. Also, many people miss time from school, from work.
The issue is getting growing attention because of new research and recent public comments by RFK Jr., Donald Trump's choice to lead HHS. Social media, the Trump White House will advise all U.S. water systems to remove fluoride from public water. In an editorial in JAMA Pediatrics, Dr. Bruce Lamphier says today's study shows it is time to reassess fluoride in drinking water.
The conclusions are sufficient to raise serious questions about fluoride's toxicity to the developing brain. That means we need to pause. We need to give ourselves a chance to look at this evidence fresh.
This morning waking up is fluoride in my cup.
That's right. It's the best part of waking up. It's fluoride in your... You don't think fluoride could have anything to do with autism, do you? Since it alters your brain.
They're going to find out if they can get Kennedy in, I think. Although it could just be a foil.
If aren't those things supposed to start soon? The confirmation.
Yeah, they're starting. I think this next week, and I think they claim that Hegseth is in. They claim that Kennedy is in.
Oh, really? Who's
That's
they?
That's what the current thought is.
Who is they?
They is the they.
Who is they?
The people within the people in Congress that keep tabs on this stuff.
I think
Cash Patel. I don't know. And I think the one they're going to push back on is Tulsi.
Yeah, that's... Oh, nobody wants Tulsi. She's bad. She's bad. She's a Russian spy. Didn't you know that?
That's what I heard.
She hung out with dictators like Assad. She's bad. And she's got a weird purple thing in her hair. She's bad. She'd be the best thing for the intelligence community. Do you know who our current director of national intelligence is?
I can't remember his name.
I know. No, it's not even a he. It's a she. Avril Haines.
Oh, yes. I do know this. Avril.
And, yeah. And she was national security director of national intelligence under Obama. And again, under Biden.
Yeah. Avril Haines.
And she looks like a dork. You should look at her wiki page.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
She's like, what is this woman? And Tulsi's no good? Of course she is.
Oh, yeah. Avril Haines looks like another pom-pom girl wannabe. Yeah, wannabe.
Yeah, what's her, what is her history?
Goofball looking.
Goofball, that's it. Goofball.
She's a goofball looking girl.
Let me see. Where
Haines worked. It was born in New York. Okay, what is that?
Yeah, Rutgers.
Grew up Upper West Side. Yeah, hey, blah, blah, blah.
Wait, what is she?
Jewish.
Oh, that says enough. She took up flying lessons in New Jersey. She's a pilot, where she met her future husband.
She went to Hunter College High.
Yeah.
Here we go. Starts off. Moved to Japan for some unknown reason for a year.
That'll do it.
Where she was at the Kodokan, an elite judo institute.
Oh, she's a judo.
Then she went from there to the University of Chicago, where she studied physics, so she is a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
She started repairing car engines at a mechanic shop in Hyde Park, took up flying lessons in New Jersey.
She's a tomboy.
BS in physics. She's a physicist. That's interesting. That's a good sign.
She was also appointed by President Barack Obama to be deputy director of the CIA.
Moved to Baltimore, enrolled in a doctoral student program in physics at Johns Hopkins.
Well, that's
Spook City.
Spook
City. So that's where she became a spook. What else?
Anyway.
Yes, no, she was the deputy director of the CIA by Obama.
I think because we try to be a show for the Gulf of America, we have not really covered this well, and it comes at the end of another broadcast day. I think we just need to have a quick discussion about Justin Trudeau.
Tonight, deeply unpopular at home because of soaring prices and ridiculed by President-elect Trump, Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau bowing out.
I intend to resign as party leader, as Prime Minister.
after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process.
The son of a popular Prime Minister, Trudeau's movie star looks and photogenic young family made him an international star. But in recent years, he was criticized for inflation and immigration. 3 weeks ago, his closest advisor, the Deputy Prime Minister, resigned.
And it has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option in that election.
A final blow, tension with President-elect Trump, who threatened Canada with 25% tariffs. Despite Trudeau rushing to Mar-a-Lago to appease him, Trump blamed Canada for fentanyl and undocumented immigrants crossing the border, and Canada's trade advantage with the U.S., mocking him on Truth Social as a governor. Posting today, many people in Canada love being the 51st state.
What's the impact of having a leadership crisis in Canada?
I actually think it probably smooths the relationship, since clearly Donald Trump and Justin Trudeau were not on the same page.
Trudeau will still be prime minister for a few months of Trump's presidency while Canada decides how to replace him.
This is the old Canadian switcheroo. Everyone's all happy, like, oh, Trudeau's gone. No.
He's not gone.
The parliament is prorogued. Is that the term? Prorogued?
I've never heard this term.
Yes, we have. Prorogued. That's the suspension. That means they can't do much. Prorogued.
We haven't been able to do much anyway.
We had that in the UK, too. Parliament is prorogued. Order is prorogued until March, end of March. And they're going to elect an internal leader. So it's not like they get elections. They just get another doofus. Who do you think they'll choose?
Well, from the looks of things, they're going to have to choose somebody outside of the Labour Party.
No, you don't do that. You never do that as a Labour. A Labour Party is going to choose from inside their ranks.
No, not on Canada. Canada's Labour Party is down to hardly anybody. It's going to be a dead party. It's not like the British Labour Party.
Can't they bring Freeland back?
I don't know what they're going to do. Who can tell?
And that concludes our discussion on Canada. Doug Ford.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. I don't know. He's doing I don't know. I'm just waiting, hoping to become the next province.
Let's see what the CBC says.
As you all know, I am a fighter, and I am not someone who backs away from a fight, particularly when
Liberal.
Just did.
It's Liberal Party, not Labour. The Liberal Party. Thank you.
Oh, Trump. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right.
A fight is Liberal as important party. As this one is.
For you, Justin Trudeau, who for months resisted calls from his own MPs that he stepped down for the good of their party, the realization finally set in. This was a fight he could not win.
This country deserves a real choice in the next election, and it has become clear to me that if I'm having to fight internal battles, I cannot be the best option in that election.
Trudeau appeared today outside his home at Rideau Cottage, where he held daily briefings during the COVID pandemic to announce the end of a political era. After nearly a decade as prime minister, he's stepping down.
I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process.
Asked about his legacy, Trudeau says he's proud of his government's work on reconciliation and helping the middle class. His greatest regret, breaking his promise to bring in electoral reform. For now, Trudeau says he's asked the Governor General to prorogue Parliament until March 24th. That will give the Liberals time, though not much, to pick a new leader, but it will also be, Trudeau says, a much-needed break.
Parliament has been entirely seized by obstruction and filibustering and a total lack of productivity. And it's time for a reset.
So the suggestions from the troll room are the McKenzie brothers, Wayne Gretzky, and, I was listening, Jordan Peterson, good one. I was listening to the True Anon podcast. You ever heard of the True Anon podcast?
No.
And they claim that Trudeau, Elon Musk is actually Canadian. He's not Australian at all.
He's never been Australian. He's South African.
South African. I'm sorry. South African. That he's Canadian.
No, he's not.
I'm just telling you. Maybe he could be the prime minister. He could be the governor of Canada. Is that actually possible? Could we do that? Could we make Canada a 51st state? Could we buy them?
Too much work. Too much. And I've thought about this. You don't want Canada to be the 51st or 51st and 52nd state. Canada's basis for existing is so much different than ours. Ours, we fought a revolution. We shot the bad guys who ran the place, ran them out of town, and we're tough guys. Canada accomplished the same thing, but they did it differently. Their whole mechanism for getting where they got is by complaining. The Canadians complain and complain and complain about everything. Who needs that aggravation?
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda.
You have successfully cured me of any thoughts of having Canada as a member of our union. We don't want the complainers. You're absolutely right.
It would be miserable.
That'd be horrible. And now it is time to thank the rest of our donors for episode 1728. These are producers who have done their duty and have produced by sending us one of the three T's, time, talent, treasure. You can do lots of things to help the show out, lots of things to save costs by creating things that we desperately need, see Void Zero. But then there's always the treasure part of the three T's, and John is going to take us through the 50s right now.
Yeah, starting with Sir Mark of the Big Kielbasa in Warsaw, Poland.
Hey, Kura.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Favorite donation. Stephen Belode in Lafayette, Louisiana, 100. He has some, he's going to become a podcaster, I guess.
Hard to say. What does he say?
See if there's anything we need to discuss, but I'm going to continue as you look at that. Zachary Vickers in Lincoln, Nebraska, 100. I'm not anywhere near the fires for people who want to know. I'm 440 miles away.
Quite some distance.
Yeah. Zachary Vickers in Lincoln, Nebraska has came in again.
No.
Twice.
Wait, well, shouldn't he be an associate exec?
Yeah, I guess we'll move him up. But he came in another 100 and he says, apology donation for the first donation. Well, sorry about the bad joke about Dvorak and the fires.
Well, that's a double. I'm putting him in right now. You are an associate executive producer. I'm glad we always check these. Very good.
Again, and you know, I'm nowhere near the fires, and so the joke was lost. Just lost to the void. Tan Hawk Lai, $100.
Tan Hawk Lai, for good karma to my daughter, currently in an exchange program in Michigan. All right.
Someone seems to be some connection to Singapore here. Ah, there we go. 8008 from Kevin McLaughlin. The boob donation. He's the Archduke of Lund, a lover of American boobs. The only boob donation today. Chris, there we go again. There's Chris in Charlotte, North Carolina, 75. His name is pronounced Erskog.
Erskog. Erskog.
Erskog.
I can't remember now. I forgot already.
Oh, jeez. Too bad. Zachary Selig in West Broomfield, Michigan, 69. Dame Rita, Sparks, Nevada. There she is. She's coming in a lot now. Thank you for your spin down of all your valuable information. Thank you for your courage, Rita, $67.
Nice.
Jerris, G-E-R-R-I-S Corp in Arlington, Virginia,
Do you have a lozenge in your mouth?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it. Love and Light, 6363. Love and Light and Thoughts and Prayers. David Cox in Austin, Texas, 6325. Fact Checker. Grayson Insurance in Aurora, California, 6006. Grayson Insurance. Sir Not Jake in Thompson, Connecticut, 5678. Sir Dan the Quiet Man in Canton, Georgia, 5510. Sir Tom Dari, our buddy in DeForest, Wisconsin, 5510. Troy Funderburk, another regular in Missoula, Montana, 55. Brittany Miller in Trinidad, Colorado, 5272. Katharina Van Esch in Hilversum, Netherlands.
Showbiz City in the Netherlands.
That's the Hollywood of Netherlands?
That's right.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
You learn something new on this show every day. She came out with 5272. John Fitzpatrick, Heber Springs, Arkansas, 5272. He's Baron Sir John, the Knight of St. Patrick. Andrew Gardner in Leonardtown, Maryland.
Sir Andrew.
5150. I always thought he was in New York City.
Yeah, I know. You're always wrong.
Well, maybe he moved. It's possible.
Mm.
Josiah Thomas in Ankeny. That's Ankeny, Iowa, 51. Bad Idea Supply. Look it up on the internet. Bad Idea Supply for all your burning needs. 50. Now we have the $50 donations, just the name and location. Will do. Stephen Ray in Spokane. Ray Howard in Kremlin, Colorado. Edward Mazurek, Sir Edward in Memphis, Tennessee. Maddie Strozak in Higson, Tennessee. William Kidwell in Dover, Delaware. William Spain in Springdale, Arkansas. Carl Vogler in Dillon Beach, California. Carrie Jackson in Waterton, Tennessee. Jason DeLuzio, Sir Jason in Miami Beach. And last on the list is Harry Klan in Aledo, Texas. And these are all people that helped us out on show 15. I think it's 15.
How about 1728?
Oh, 1728. That's it. Exactly.
Thank you all very much. And of course, again, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers who have those credits for the lifetime. Thank you to everyone under $50. We never mention those for reasons of anonymity. And of course, our sustaining donors. I need a lozenge. Our sustaining donors who set up recurring donations of smaller amounts. It can be any amount. Doesn't have to be small. Of any amount, go to noagendadonations.com. Set that up. Any amount, any frequency. Again, noagendadonations.com. Support the show. Noagendadonations.com. Wow, a short list. Hudson Morris turned 17 on January 9th. That would be today. Happy birthday, Hudson Morris, from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. We do have, three knights to bring up on the podium today. So I'll withdraw my sword from its scabbard.
Here you go. Here's a big boy.
He's got the big boy. And the big boy is needed. For Quirano Martin, John Kelber, and Paul Noe, all three of you have supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or more. Therefore, you qualify to become Knights of the No Agenda Roundtable. I pronounce the Kate Diaz, Celtic Knight of the Flaggerlands, Sir Ten of Nothing, and Sir Super Apple of the Tennessee Hills. For you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay, Prostitutes and Cigars, Kashamba Bullen, along with Lakefront Eastside, Dark Lager and Cheese Curds, Taquito and Tequila. Oh, that's tacos and tequila. Along with that, Geisha, the Sake, Bach, and Vanilla, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkly Cider and Escorts. Oh, yes. We always have the mutton and mead at the ready. Thank you all very much. And you, as freshly knighted knights, can go to noagendarings.com. Take a look at those beautiful rings. They are signet rings, which means you can seal your important correspondence with the provided wax, which you send along with it. And as always, a certificate of authenticity. Thank you again. Thank you, really, for joining the round table here of the No Agenda Knights and Dames and for supporting the show, episode 1728.
No Agenda!
Yes, the No Agenda Meetups, this is where you get your connection. It is protection. It keeps you stable, therefore making you able. It is always a party. And no meetup reports for today, but we do have some announcements. A meetup, the Treasure Valley Meetup, 3 o'clock on Saturday. It's a new location, Old State Saloon in Eagle, Idaho. The flight of the No Agenda is 59 already that Leo Bravo has organized. HMS Bounty, that's on Wilshire Boulevard, if there's no fire, in Los Angeles, California, also on Saturday. And Schlemiel Schlemazel, 2025, 4 o'clock at Moe's Irish Pub in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We have on the next show day, Sunday, the Indie No Agenda inaugurate this meetup, 3 o'clock at Blind Owl Brewery in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's Mark and Maria. And we have the Too Many Eggs Keene, New Hampshire meetup, number 9 already, 3:33 p.m. at Margaritas in Keene, New Hampshire. And finally, on our next show day, Sunday, the second Mountains and Rivers meetup, 3:33 at the Dam Restaurant and Bar. You'll find that in South Slocan, British Columbia, Scandinavia. Looking forward to meetup reports. Please send them to me, adam@curry.com. That is your No Agenda meetups for the next few days. Remember that there are many more listed at noagendameetups.com. If you can't find one near you, start one yourself. It's easy and always a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days.
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
You want to be where you won't be. Triggered on hell's flame. You want to be where everybody feels the same.
It's like a party. I would like to tell all the producers out there who love trying to help me out, sending me ISOs, end of show ISOs, and I do have a number today. Please note that we are never looking for an ISO of ourselves. That is not the idea. And ISOs of someone saying in the morning also will never fly. I just need to say that because people keep saying, oh, this guy said in the morning. No, we're not looking for that. Here's a couple that I have. I'll start off since I have 5 of them.
I hate to say this, but it feels like 2020 all over again.
Too long. It's too long. It's too long. How about this one?
It's so cool.
It's a little muddy.
Look at that thing. It's so big.
It's a little lewd.
How about this one?
So refreshing.
So refreshing. Well, or
actually, I can go for that one.
Or
trolling Canada.
Trolling Canada. I think so refreshing is
so refreshing.
Yeah, I kind of like so refreshing.
I do. I like that too.
What do you have?
So that could win. So I got 3. Oh. I got this one we played earlier, OSP Good News.
The good news is that there is no more bad news. Goodbye.
A little on the long side. Okay, but I like it. I could live with it.
And let's try Stay Safe, Please.
Stay Safe, Please.
We have much better Stay Safe than that.
And then Guys.
These guys know what they are doing.
There it is. That's the one. Because that's the truth.
These guys know what they are doing.
We know what we are doing. And we also have John's tip of the day to prove it.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB. And sometimes
I'm excited. The highlight. The highlight of every single show is, of course, John's tip of the day.
This is a process tip.
Process tip.
Yeah, process. The process you go through.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to listen to something interesting, you should listen to, I think it's a recent Scott Adams diatribe complaining about the fact that he's been ripped off by Amazon.
Yeah, for his book?
His book and his calendar in particular.
And how did he get ripped off?
Well, the calendar only has one official place that sells it. He says that the counterfeit versions are for sale on Amazon.
And he can't get them off?
No.
Wow.
He says he tried to get him off. It's a rigmarole. He says as far as he's concerned, they're making money off of them. Wow. So they're very reluctant.
Is he going to sue them? Is he going to sue them?
Well, this is the thing that bugs me about this diatribe. And people have sent a lot of people have sent it in to me. It's that he's not going to sue them. And it's a lawsuit for copyright violation. He could easily do it.
It'll be worth
it. But he doesn't want to hurt his sales of his other books that he knows are legit that are going through the system. Even though he's probably
what kind of weenie is that? Right. He's a weenie.
He's very much of a weenie when it comes to this. But the thing that the tip of the day is the fact that Jay or Mimi actually bought a couple of memory cards recently that were from Amazon and they were bad.
Oh, no.
They were counterfeits.
Did they have 1K on them instead of 1 gig?
They didn't even work. And I will say I don't run into that so much on Amazon, but if you go to use AliExpress, almost all the memory there you buy from them is no good. It's just fake. They have the right packaging, kind of, but then it looks, you know, looks a little fishy, so little shady.
It's basically just a piece of plastic you're jamming into your computer. That's it.
Well, there's sometimes, like you said, there's 1K, but it registers as full, but it's bull crap. They said they've messed with the headers and they make it look like bigger than it is.
These Chinese are no good.
But with Amazon, this has been going on for a long time, because I noticed this years ago. And Amazon, because they could use outside vendors, and these vendors are crooked.
Yeah.
With Amazon, the tip of the day is look at the 1-star reviews of all the products you buy at Amazon, because it will be revealed, because it is the season of reveal, it will be revealed in the 1-star reviews that these cards, these chips, these thumb drives are bull crap. But it's always in there. Amazon has no problem, because they just let the stuff, you know, people send the complaints in and they stay there and they get posted. So it's very easy to spot. It's not like, you know, you know, if you don't do any work at all and don't even try or see if there's a 1-star review or even 2-star review, you're making a huge mistake. You're going to be buying faulty product.
That's, you know, Tina is a big review person. She, first of all, she will review things, but she always looks at the reviews for everything. And she winds up buying nothing. Because there's always a bunch of people going like, this thing's no good. It sucks. It was bogus. I hated this place. The restaurant's no good. I got food poisoning. There's always 1-star reviews. You got to be careful. I believe most reviews are either bogus from the company themselves or from competitors, and also
bogus. I agree with that. But I will say that if you look at the 1-star reviews on we're talking, this is specific to memory products.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
The memory products, there'll be somebody saying this is a fake product that doesn't have the amount of memory. Okay. And that's usually not some disgruntled competitor.
No.
With memory people, they don't do that to each other. So
no, there's a code of conduct amongst the memory people, apparently.
I would think there it would be. So that's your tip of the day.
All right, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Go to tipofthedaynet or noagendafun.com for more of John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCB. And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Brunetti.
That's right. Created by Dana Brunetti, who cannot get a hold of you because your line is busy.
Well, the phone's off the hook at the moment, of course.
Well, good. Very good. That's not always been the case throughout the show, the history of the show, but it's off the hook now. And this concludes our broadcast day of media deconstruction for you. Our thoughts and indeed my prayers are with all in Los Angeles. And coming up next on No Agenda Stream, which is trollroom.io, feel free to troll along. We have Who Are These Broadcasters? Subtitle Nikki's Globes and a Demure New Year. And if you're listening on a modern podcast app, you'll hear it there as well. End of show mixes from Lee O. LaPuke, brand new from him, and from David Kecta, two dynamite mixes. We thank them for that. And I am coming to you from a very wet and quite chilly Fredericksburg here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where it's seasonably warm, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday. Please join us, won't you? We'll be here to do it all over again for you. Remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Father Matthew, you think you should have been visiting Ghana? Do you owe citizens an apology for being absent while their homes were burning? Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? The infamous.
inferno engulfing Los Angeles. Democrat mismanagement with misplaced environmentalism and stir it up with a heady mix of DEI-inspired incompetence.
Right now, if you need help, emergency information, all of this can be found at URL.
We must not be afraid to define our enemy. It is Islamic extremist terrorism.
On that deadly attack in New Orleans in the French Quarter tonight, the FBI has put out new images of the suspect just hours before the attack. He is seen placing coolers containing explosive devices along Bourbon Street. Who took his life outside of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas said he was trying to draw attention to the country's problems.
He said that you guys think that they've sent at least 15, Al-Qaeda alone has sent at least 1,500 people here in the United States.
Correct.
What do they plan on doing with them?
They have a 2025 multi-coordinated, multi-city plot to avenge the death of Osama bin Laden.
We've been warning about what's happening for damn near a year now. We have these invisible bombs.
The invisible bombs? John, do you know about the invisible bombs?
No, but I'm about to find out.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
These guys know what they are doing.